the petition to make it a national holiday, please, so that we can recognize Ocean Day just as much as we have Earth Day. Very important, as you know, as we all know. And just have a great weekend. It's so beautiful out there. Thank you for giving me part of your day. I'm going to be celebrating my mom's 78th birthday tomorrow up in the Pinnacles, giving her time with the family. It's a perfect gift. And remember, we change tomorrow by changing today, and we have to.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Cammie McCormick.
Frankly, I never thought I'd live to see an $11 move in one day.
Well, that's what happened today as oil prices surged to $139 a barrel. Oil analyst Peter Butel.
We've moved more in the last couple of days than oil was priced at in 1999.
And where oil prices go, gas is sure to follow, according to Tom Closa of the Oil Price Information Service.
June is a month where you usually see prices come off of the Memorial Day highs for gasoline, and you see prices ease for diesel and heating oil. In the past couple of days, we've seen price increases in wholesale markets up 30 to 45 cents.
And that could mean several more cents at the pump in just the next few days. The other economic news today, unemployment in May grew at the fastest pace in 20 years. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller is at the White House with more on what the Bush administration hopes can turn things around.
A top White House aide says President Bush may offer some new policies to give the economy a boost. But for the time being, he's pinning his hopes to the stimulus plan of tax rebates and business incentives.
We're beginning to see the signs that the stimulus may be working, and now Congress needs to take the next steps.
By that, he means drilling for oil in now restricted areas and acting to keep the tax cuts enacted on his watch from expiring in 2010. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
We're charging less on our credit cards. The Federal Reserve says Americans' credit card debt in April grew at its slowest pace in nearly 3 years. Home run king Barry Bonds was back in court today to face charges he lied about using performance-enhancing drugs. Correspondent Steve Futterman was there.
There were two separate hearings for Barry Bonds. During the first, before a magistrate, he was arraigned. A plea of not guilty was entered on his behalf. During the second hearing, before the trial judge, a trial date was set, March 2nd of next year. Following the hearings, Bonds did not speak with reporters. His chief attorney, Alan Ruby, did, saying Bonds has done nothing wrong.
He didn't lie to the grand jury. He didn't do what he's accused of, and we look forward to the trial where that'll be confirmed.
Ruby would not say if Bonds will testify during his trial. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Federal Courthouse in San Francisco.
A senior New York cranes inspector has been charged with taking bribes and falsifying reports. City officials say he's not, though, accused of any wrongdoing in two recent crane accidents that claimed 9 lives. Maybe some tougher new testing requirements for contact lens solutions. 34 million Americans wear contact lenses, but some solutions have been pulled off the market recently after eye infection outbreaks. It was described as a half-mile wide, a tornado which raced through a town in northwestern Minnesota today, damaging houses and pushing cars off the roads. There were no reports of serious injuries. The country's midsection has been hard hit by severe weather all week. And on Wall Street today, the Dow finished off 394 points. This is CBS News.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hey.
Hey, where are you going?
I thought I'd go over to Home Depot.
Oh, what do we need?
Maybe we'll figure it out when we get there.
It's time to remember where Dad goes when he doesn't have to go anywhere. The Home Depot, where you'll find his perfect Father's Day gift, like a Brinkman 4-burner gas grill for just $199, or give him a Home Depot gift card. The Home Depot, proud sponsor of Father's Day. U.S. only. See store for details.
Guys, June 15th is coming, a.k.a. Father's Day. So now's the time to report to Dockers Headquarters, a.k.a. the men's store inside JCPenney. Through Saturday, buy $75 of Dockers clothing and accessories and get a free $50 award card good for any men's store purchase. Check out their unbeatable selection of Dockers. Shorts, pants, sports shirts, gifts. They don't mess around when it comes to Dockers, and you shouldn't mess around when it comes to Father's Day. The men's store inside JCPenney is a smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney. See store for details.
North Carolina's governor has declared a state of emergency because of a large wildfire in a national wildlife refuge.
The 30,000-acre wildfire has forced hundreds from their homes in three eastern North Carolina counties. Evacuee Rainey Beasley has a simple request.
Just pray for me. and pray for all my neighbors, pray for our animals.
100-degree heat and a worsening drought are making matters worse. Smoke from the fire has spread hundreds of miles into Virginia. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
Researchers think video games may help stroke patients improve. At the University of South Carolina, they're looking to see if they could be even more effective than traditional rehabilitation exercises. And it was a joke after all. Derry Air, advertised in Philadelphia newspapers as an airline that charges passengers by the pound. The website claimed every seat was first class, but scroll down and a disclaimer labeled the ad fictitious. I'm Cammy McCormick, CBS News.
Get the good stuff. A dirty air filter can really kill your gas mileage, because when air can't get to your engine uses a lot more fuel. Replacing your dirty air filter can improve your gas mileage by as much as 10%. So stop into a participating Napa Auto Parts store. We're offering a $2 mail-in rebate on any Napa Gold air filter. You'll get a filter that will protect your engine at a price that will do the same for your budget. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff!
The sizzling summer sampler from the U.S. Virgin Islands is here. Now get your fifth night free. Coupons worth $200 towards activities and attractions, a $50 cash card, and up to $100 resort or room credit. So call your favorite travel agent today. Okay, now let's sing.
This is how life's meant to be.
And bring the lawyers in too.
Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations made before July 31st, 2008. For travel between May 1st and August 15th, 2008. Restrictions apply.
Well-informed and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B's America.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up later this hour, the former star of MASH, Mike Farrell, is going to join us. He's written a book, a personal memoir, but that's not why we're talking with him. He is an outspoken activist against the death penalty. He leads an organization called Death Penalty Focus. And there's a lot of good news for those of us who oppose capital punishment. The state of New Jersey is on the verge of banning executions. That's right, Tony Soprano's state is going to ban executions. But before we get to Mike Farrell, Eric Bollert returns to our program. He's at Media Matters for America, helps us keep the corporate media on the straight and narrow to the extent that that's even conceivable. And he lives in the Garden State of New Jersey. Do you have an opinion about this change in the death penalty law in your state, Eric?
It's interesting, isn't it? It looks like it's going to happen. It's narrow, but basically the premise is that the whole process doesn't work. No one is ever executed, for better or for not.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's the point of going through this endless legal charade when no one is ever executed? And obviously there are people who are opposed to it, who are opposed to it for philosophical reasons. So there doesn't really seem to be any reason to have this on the books when it just produces really endless appeals and no one is ever satisfied. I mean, if you're a victim or a victim's family, and then they put you through this year, 5, 10, 15 year, where you think you're going to get some sort of closure with an execution that never happens.
Right.
Everyone should just be on the same page, I think. And it's interesting. It's going to happen. I mean, New Jersey, I mean, it used to be pretty, 15, 20 years ago, it was a dependable Republican state. It is one of the bluest states in the country now.
Yeah, it's really an amazing shift. Well, I want to talk about your current column that people can access from the homepage at MediaMatters.org, because you've combined things that are just like catnip to me, all right? First of all, you're identifying something that is not being covered by somebody who should cover it.
Yeah.
And that's challenging in itself, but I often, when I talk with you and Paul and JMO, I like to turn in media situations where I feel that they're not covering a story and try to figure out why. So the guy who's not covering the story is Howard Kurtz, who is the media guru at the Washington Post. And the story involves a public conflict between Joe Klein, who is a well-known columnist at Time Magazine and also wrote that book, Primary Colors, about the Clintons back in the 1990s, and Glenn Greenwald, who's been a not too frequent guest, but he's been on this program four or five times. I have a high regard for him. He's a blogger, and he writes at Salon.com. He's trained as a lawyer. He's written a powerful book about the U.S. Constitution, and he took Joe Klein on. With that set up, let me ask you to take the narrative from there. What are the issues here about what Klein wrote and what Glenn Greenwald called him on, and why is Howard Kurtz not interested?
Yeah, it is an interesting cocktail, interesting mixture. In terms of what Klein wrote and what Greenwald called him on, I mean, it really was a classic example of why the Internet matters and why bloggers matter, because if Glenn wasn't around or people of his intelligence or expertise weren't around, something like this just would have skated right through. What Joe Klein did back in late November was wrote a column on the FISA or the wiretapping legislation that was being debated in Congress.
Yes, and we don't use the phrase warrantless wiretapping here, Eric. It's illegal wiretapping.
Right, good. And Klein was writing in a very snarky way how he claimed that Democrats had quashed this bipartisan effort and they were trying to pass legislation that gave suspected terrorists the same legal protection as everyday Americans, and it was well beyond stupid, he said, and it just highlighted how Democrats are soft on terrorism.
And
the thing hadn't been up, I don't know how many hours, before Glenn Greenwald, who, as you mentioned, is a lawyer who's been following the FISA debate, as have the liberal bloggers very closely, just pointed out that Klein was absolutely dead wrong, that the legislation in question did not say what Klein said it said. And later, the co-author of the bill claimed he had no idea what Klein was talking about in terms of this bipartisan effort that was supposedly squashed. It just didn't exist. So here you've got a blogger who probably knows more than the mainstream columnist calling him out and saying, this is just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it started to become sort of a Keystone Cop routine. Klein on the Time Magazine blog tried to fix his error four or five times. None of the times really coming out and saying I made a mistake, just sort of trying to backpedal. And finally, he threw up his hand.
There's one more vote.
Mm-hmm.
The head of the SEC has almost all the power. It's really the other four members are completely dependent on the head. The head controls the entire 3,000-member staff. The other four have small staffs. The head picks what you vote on, what you don't vote on. So when you get the chairmanship of the SEC or chairpersonship
mm-hmm.
combined with a majority, it's huge. And that alone makes the presidential race important. Even no matter what the president does, just that effect alone makes the outcome singular. Important.
And so is Nick Johnson the last progressive FCC commissioner we've had?
No, I've got great news for you. We have right now, as you're going to have later on the show, I trust.
Cops and Adelstein,
I think, go down on the very short list mm-hmm. of great FCC commissioners. They are both terrific. And, it's a fluke we got them. It's not like it was planned that way. They were both appointments that came through the system like all other appointments.
Yeah.
It just so happened we were just lucky to get two people on the SEC, the Democratic candidates, who really care about the public interest. They really took those words seriously. It's highly unusual.
And
thank my lucky stars that we have them.
I've seen them on the road when they sit for these hearings that go on for hours, and they listen patiently to the public, and I believe they've attempted to fold that in to the debate at the commission.
There's no question about it. These guys say to us, we've organized hearings for them. They said to us, give us more hearings. We want to hear what people say. They genuinely mean it, and I think that with one of them, with an interim chair of the SEC, or full-time chair and had a majority, I have no doubt that we would see a 180-degree turn at the SEC immediately. They wouldn't wait a year or two. They wouldn't even need to ask me my opinion. They've got enough good ideas themselves.
All right, but if you were able to, if they asked you, what is your agenda, net neutrality seems to be at the top of the
net
list.
Net neutrality is a slam dunk given. I think we're going to get that almost certainly unless if we don't have McCain in the White House to veto it. There's overwhelming support for network net neutrality, not simply among the political community, but even the business community outside of the phone and cable companies don't like the idea of letting them privatize the internet. I think we're going to win that one, but that would be a starter, and the FCC could definitely do that. Mm-hmm. I think what we could also see is a real commitment to local ownership of media. Get rid of these waivers that have allowed people to get around the laws. I think that Commissioner Cox has already spoken about what he would want to do right away is reinstate the idea that there are public service obligations in exchange for getting a monopoly license granted by the government at no charge.
Can the commission do that, or does that require congressional action?
The commission acts entirely to serve Congress. It does not have independent power like the Supreme Court. It's not a separate branch of government. It has a lot of leeway, though, I mean, within the law, and the commission could do all those things. Now, if Congress didn't like it, they could overturn them, unlike the Supreme Court.
Because I believe that Clinton's Telco Act of 96 did truncate the license renewal process.
Yeah, but it did not truncate public interest. And what's happened is that there's no reason why the FCC can't say, yeah, the letter of the law says to get this monopoly license, you've got to fulfill the public interest. There are certain things you have to do, like news, like covering your local community, like serving diverse elements of your community that are underserved.
Mm-hmm.
That's not only is it possible, it's probably the accurate reading of the law of the land.
Mm-hmm. So what about radio? I'm really interested in trying. You do a radio show yourself.
I'm a radio fan. That's right.
And I am, you know, struggling because I don't believe that it's feasible to reinstate the old fairness doctrine. But I really think, again, if we invigorate the license renewal process and require the holders of FCC licenses to demonstrate that they have provided more than one viewpoint, just more than one, I'd be satisfied with that, because we then couldn't have all of these stations that are wall-to-wall right-wing 24-7. And likewise, we'd have to break up the Air America stations that are all left. I'm interested in dialogue, and I want to be out there mixing it up in the middle.
You know, my opinion on radio has changed quite a bit. Not quite a bit. It's information, because so much has changed with our media culture now. Because what we've seen in the last 2 years is that these same companies like Clear Channel that gobbled up all the stations after 1996, stripped it for parts, gutted the journalism, laid off thousands and thousands of workers, cut off all the local community content. Now they're basically, okay, we stripped it for parts and made a fortune, now we're getting out. And they've left nothing there. They've really destroyed this industry. They burned it. It's like burning down a forest and leaving. That's what's happened to American radio. And I'm beginning to wonder if the corporate community thinks radio is an old technology they're not interested in at this point. It's just that they're not profitable for them. These private equity firms are all about short-term kill. They're not about building anything. I think maybe we have to start thinking outside the proverbial box in radio. Maybe just say, okay, corporate guys, you wreck this one. You don't understand that. We're going to take back the AM and FM bathrooms, right? And just license it entirely to community groups now, local owners, local nonprofit groups. It was really reimagined the whole technology. And then you guys can go have your websites and try to wreck that now.
Well, they've done quite a job on TV and cable.
They've absolutely destroyed radio, especially.
Yeah.
I mean, radio is in the graveyard in this country, commercial radio. And you've got the Telecommunications Act of 1996 is the knife in the heart.
Yeah, it sure is. Bob McChesney, thanks for stopping by today, and thank you for putting on this conference. The thing I want to tell you about it is that compared to a lot of other conferences I go to, you have people who work in the industry, people who observe it from academia and elsewhere, and you have regular people, and they mix it up and they get to talk to one another. And I think that's the real power of this conference.
So thank you. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
All right, we're going to continue in just a moment. Live from Minneapolis, I'm Peter B. Collins here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth.
Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Make this the year you become personally acquainted with the May family and Jim's Restaurant at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.50 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
Go ahead, take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Just before they opened it.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues live from the Minneapolis Convention Center, a huge cavernous facility. I mentioned there's a monster truck pull down the hall right now, and we're far enough away we can't even hear it. But there is a crowd of people from all over the United States gathered here for the National Conference on Media Reform, and I'm very excited to be here. There's a lot going on. As I just described to Bob McChesney, the beauty of this is that average people, citizens who are media activists, get together with bloggers, journalists, radio and TV people. Amy Goodman's working the floor here. Dan Rather's going to be here in a little while. Bill Moyers. And it really is a very broad-based group of people, and you can feel that energy. Joining me now is the Reverend Lennox Yearwood. He is a president of the Hip Hop Caucus, and he joins us here today. Reverend, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
My first question to you is about Barack Obama, and he gave a great speech in in Iowa last week. Where was he? No, he was here in Minneapolis.
He was, yes.
See, it all goes by so fast. Anyway, he used U2's It's a Beautiful Day as his entry music, and I was wondering if that, if you approve of that, or should Barack Obama be a hip-hop guy and, you know, groove into something a little more more hip-hop, more R&B?
No, I think what he entered into it was wonderful. I think that, obviously, he's reaching across the aisle, and he's trying to embrace a variety of people, so, no, on. I think good for him to choose different types of music that that obviously empower us as well.
Yeah. How do you feel about the way the campaign was conducted this year, and particularly the media's role?
You know, I would say this. I mean, obviously for someone who's been working particularly in the peace movement, and obviously not only being president of the Hip Hop Caucus, but also being a member of Right Veterans Against the War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously we feel that you know, there's something that should have been said, should have been asked. Obviously, the war should have been on top of that agenda. The media should have been not asking him about obviously the flag on his jacket or
driver's licenses for non-residents, non-citizens.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We want to be have more hard-hitting things, and so obviously, you know, we also feel that you know, there's a long way to go,
mm-hmm.
and the media has a huge role to play in ensuring that our democracy goes forward.
Yeah. And what do you think about the way pastors have been treated and slimed, and the kind of guilt by association that's been attempted?
I think that's unfortunate. Now, I will say this. I do think that, you know, I do think pastors need to have better situational awareness. I will say this. I actually know Reverend Wright.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Howard School of Divinity, which is a school that really embraces liberation theology to some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so I understand the point that's being made, but I also understand the point that I think you can give a point that explains that in a way that tells a story that does not actually point out somebody or disparage somebody or put somebody down. So I can't put them down. My style, but I will tell the same thing,
mm-hmm.
but I'll tell in a way that doesn't begin to point out some individual in a way that begins to put them down.
Yeah. What about the double standard that it appears that Barack Obama is responsible for anything that happens at Trinity Church in Chicago, you know, even if the janitor shows up late. But, you know, John McCain is not held to account for the pastors that he chased for endorsements who've issued hateful sermons about Catholics, about Muslims, and I really feel that the issue is race here, and that these pastors have been used as surrogates, as kind of proxies for racial overtone.
No, of course. I mean, and that's unfortunate. I think that's unfortunate for a candidate who was obviously pushing a type of coalition and type of cohesiveness between races. I agree. As a minister, I'm obviously very outspoken. And unfortunately, I think that if Rock were to hang around me, my comments against President Bush and the current administrations in regards to this war,
mm-hmm.
he might have to shun me off. And I think that'd be unfortunate, particularly if he had to do it because he was African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're right. The race has played and will and has continued to play a role. But I think that one of the important pieces that we're missing here is that as well as race has played, I think that we are beginning to overcome that as well. I think that we are beginning to see what I would think from the young people,
mm-hmm.
a dream generation in which the sons and daughters of former slaves are beginning to work side by side with the sons and daughters of former slave owners. You begin to see black and white and brown and yellow and red work side by side on issues, and that's exciting. So
yeah.
On one hand, when we see those groups who would be racist to the core regardless of, or be sexist to the core regardless of what's happening. We saw that in Kentucky. I mean, people just came out in West Virginia said, man, I wouldn't vote for him if he was Jesus and he was black. I wouldn't vote for him. But we are beginning to see those in Iowa and those here in Minnesota and those around this country begin to come together. And I think as a progressive movement, that's what's exciting, because that begins to show that we do have the possibility for true change in America.
Reverend Lennox Yearwood is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And a final question for you about the hip-hop media. Much of it's owned by white-run corporations.
Yes, sir.
In your view, is it mostly exploitive, or is there a balance there? Do these stations serve the communities that they generate so much profit from?
No, that's an excellent question. I mean, obviously, there is still some buffoonery and blackface, and you know, and that needs to be changed. And you do have a lot of those who are in those corporate headquarters who are just exploiting communities. And we need to have corporations that will begin to empower the communities that, instead of using the communities. And so, no, that's a huge issue for us at Hip Hop Caucus, obviously from payola to obviously to other aspects that we have to confront on a daily basis, because sometimes we have to explain for their actions and in a way that hurts us as well.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for joining us. It's a real pleasure to meet you, and keep up the work.
No, thank you so much.
All right. the Reverend Lennox Yearwood here in Minneapolis at the National Conference on Media Reform. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll take a break and return. And coming up next, Craig Newmark of Craigslist in San Francisco will join us live here in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. I'm Sam Litzinger, sitting in for Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. You know how we humans seem to have growth spurts? We seem to gain like a foot in a few weeks when we're about 16? Apparently some mountains do the same sort of thing, except they don't want to borrow the family car. More after this.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world, and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Did you know that Geico insures more than cars? It's true, they cover tons of other things like hot air balloons, unicycles and roller skates. Nah, I'm just messing with you. But Geico can help insure lots of other vehicles though, like motorcycles, RVs, ATVs, personal watercraft, boats and pogo sticks. I'm only kidding about the pogo sticks, but seriously, just so there's no confusion, Geico now offers insurance on more than just your car.
Geico, saving you money on insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you. Visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Okay, listen, to get into this story, I have to say a few words about plate tectonics. Now, wait, don't go jumping over to the classic rock station. This will just take a few seconds. Plate tectonics, which is actually very cool when you think about it, involves entire continents moving on gigantic shelves around the Earth. Now, this doesn't happen quickly, otherwise we'd be smacking into Greenland all the time. It takes millions and millions of years to move things around, except maybe not as many millions as scientists had thought. American researchers have found that the Andes Mountains may have had what amount to adolescent mountain growth spurts, doubling their height in as few as 2 to 4 million years, which to geologists is about 2 seconds for the rest of us. Until this new study, they thought the Andes Mountains had risen gradually over the past 40 million years to reach their current height, which, as you were probably dying to know, averages 13,000 feet. It's as if the Andes had been chugging along, growing by teeny-weeny increments, and then suddenly became like the tallest kid in junior high. Now, the researchers have a theory about why this happened, but honestly, it's so complicated and involves so many words like delamination, it gives me a headache, and I don't want to talk about it. But here's the bottom line from all this. While it's probably not the case that everything we know is wrong, it may well be the case that everything we know is subject to revision when new information comes along. So it's probably a good idea to be a little humble about the stuff we claim to know, because, yes, it is an unsettling idea, but we could be mistaken. Well, you, not me. The Osgood File, Sam Litzinger on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue our live broadcast from the National Conference for Media Reform, live from the Minneapolis Convention Center. We've had thunderstorms and some kind of wild weather here that made travel to the Twin Cities a little bit challenging, but it didn't stop Craig Newmark. He's in from San Francisco. Gee, I had to come to Minneapolis to meet you, Craig.
Sometimes things work out that way.
Well, welcome to the show. How are you?
Things are going pretty well. I'm enjoying the conference, and I'm still doing the customer service that I'm required to do.
Well, I see you here with your iPhone working on a customer service issue, and you're the founder. Do you carry the title of CEO of Craigslist?
No, I'm not CEO. That title is held by Jim Buckmaster, who nowadays, well, since 2000, is the guy who really runs Craigslist. I am a customer service rep, not a customer service leader or anything
Oh, there goes the phone. Something else is going wrong.
And kind of the deal is that I do customer service for a living.
Well, before we get into media issues that we're here to focus on, I just wanted to tell you about my experience. I had an extra Whirlpool bathtub, new in the factory carton in my garage, and I put it up on Craigslist, and I'm only allowed to post once a week, so I did it every week for 14 months, and then I sold it. And I did lower the price in increments along the way, but I, you know, wouldn't lower it to the point, I guess, where somebody was just going to snatch it right up. What are your clues and tips to people about the best way to use Craigslist? And maybe I was in the wrong category, or maybe, you know, bathtubs just don't sell so well there.
Well, all we are just regular old classifieds, but placed online. So just use the same principles that you would just advertising in a newspaper or putting your ad up on a card on a corkboard in a laundrette, say. The deal is you put up your ad, and in our case, you can put it up every 48 hours. It stays up for a week. Now, we do ask people to remove old ads. But it's that simple. In a case like a bathtub, that may not be as exciting an item as a as an iPhone or whatever. So I can imagine how that might take a while.
What is the hottest category at Craigslist?
I think it's some combination of housing and jobs. I haven't looked at that specifically in a while. Unfortunately, my job focus is on cases of abuse, and so I see that more than I see other areas. Fortunately, percentage-wise, there are very few bad guys out there who abuse our site. Unfortunately, even a tiny fraction of a big thing is enough to keep us busy.
So do you have a police force there? The Craigslist cops?
Nothing quite like that.
Craigslist Carabinieri?
But we are good at working with the cops to deal with bad guys. On the other hand, we balance that with the need to preserve due process and the rights of the accused. You're probably more than old enough to remember when we had a constitution in the country and rule of law. We act as if it was still in effect, and I'm pretty confident we're going to see a return to constitutional law January 20th.
Now, do you end up fielding requests from police agencies and the FBI for information on posts at Craigslist?
I personally do get some, but very few. Typically, they're handled by Clint, who runs customer service. And the deal is the cops know that they have to do the right things with us, and we've never had a problem. The idea is that every request goes through some kind of judicial review, and usually it's for some kind of petty harassment or maybe a scam. And we're good at responding because, again, you got to help out the targets of crime and the cops who help with that. But again, you have to respect due process.
Now, some people who post on Craigslist seem to think that they're invisible and completely anonymous. And, for example, in some of the personal sections, there are pretty explicit ads from prostitutes. What do you do to police that? And, you know, are they kind of operating as if they're untouchable because they have a screen name and, you know, things like that? It seems that people operate with a sense of impunity that goes beyond what their actual protections are.
Well, there's a whole bunch of issues there. First, when you're on the net, you have less anonymity than you do in real life because you're leaving behind trace evidence in the form of IP addresses. Beyond that, again, people do abuse our site in different ways. The ones who do so in a criminal manner do see that we are good at working with the cops. But people do find in those areas where sometimes if no one complains, if the cops don't care, then they might feel a certain impunity. In our case, specifically in those areas, we have people who flag for removal ads like that. A bunch of them get removed, and we have internal tools which allow us to look at what's going on, and so we can remove lots more.
I see. Craig Newmark with us from Craigslist.org, and if you have a question or comment for him, you can give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And, Craig, I'm curious how you view the issue of net neutrality, and if you could give us an example of how it might affect Craigslist, because most of my listeners are aware of your site. What they have a hazy understanding of is if there were multiple levels of service on the internet, how it would actually work.
Okay. It might affect our site less because we're so text intensive, but for the sake of argument, let's suppose there's some other classified site and they pay a telecom for privileges to be considered elite.
Mm-hmm.
In a case like that, it's possible that when someone looks to go to our site, we might be much slower than going to a competing site. One analogy that other people make with the phone system is, let's suppose you try to call the neighborhood pizza place, Joe's Pizza or whatever, and you called them and you got a message saying, hey, we'll connect you to Joe's in a minute, but if you want to talk to Pizza Hut, we'll connect you right away.
Okay.
The deal is the internet has always been about fairness and a level playing field for everyone. There are a few people at a few telecoms who say that, hey, they can get money by charging more to elite customers, and at the expense of everyone else. Very few people actually feel that way at the telecoms, because I work with a lot of their worker-level people. But they're going ahead and doing this, or they want to do it. And even some of the people at the telecoms don't understand why. Unfortunately, there are some people, just a few, in the lobbying industry who have seized upon this as a way of, let's say they like to stir up arguments, which prolongs the whole thing, makes them some more billable hours.
Yep.
And that's really hurt the country. I do want to add that there's only a very few of lobbyists that are that predatory. Most are okay. Most are just trying to help their clients get a fair shake. But in particular, in net neutrality, there have been some lobbyists who have deliberately gone ahead, tried to create division to make some more money.
Yeah. Craig Newmark from Craigslist with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Craig, did you ever imagine, when you started Craigslist, really just as a listserv for your friends, you were working at Schwab, that you would really, and I'm not demonizing you individually, but what you did was a sea change that unraveled the financial underpinnings of the newspaper industry in this country. And in particular, the San Jose Mercury News that earned a lot of its profit from the classifieds for jobs in Silicon Valley ended up on its knees, was sold to another company, and they've had cutback after cutback there. And I was talking to a fellow from the St. Petersburg Times earlier today. He said 5 years ago, 60% of their revenue came from classifieds, and it has been dramatically reduced, and they're fending like everybody else with a smaller paper, fewer employees, less news. Did you ever expect that might happen?
I didn't expect it, and frankly, I've spoken to a lot of industry analysts and newspaper publishers. They tell us that we do have an effect on them, but that it's been greatly exaggerated to the point of becoming an urban myth.
Really? Well, let's bust that myth. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, the deal is that the newspapers have much bigger problems from aggressive salespeople at niche sites, particularly focusing on cars or jobs, where those aggressive salespeople will call up people advertising in newspapers to get their business. This has happened to our customers a little bit. When it does happen, though, I tend to call the overly aggressive salespeople. Newspapers have bigger problems because many of them are actually making very high profit margins forced on them by ownership by Wall Street investors.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, sometimes 10 to 30% profit margins aren't enough, so they've been firing people, particularly investigative reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And a democracy needs investigative reporters asking difficult questions. That's the way we stay out of, say, foreign misadventures.
Yeah, that would be nice. So what do you think has been the positive effect of Craigslist? What do you see that you've created?
Well, we've helped tens of millions of people with everyday stuff, like getting jobs or places to live, roommates, selling stuff or buying it as needed. That ain't bad. And, you know, we've given away in what the nonprofit people call like-kind contributions, probably half billion ads. And the value of such ads on the low end is about $40 per ad.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of philanthropy.
Yeah. Do you have a foundation?
We do have a little foundation focusing on how do you... they help other nonprofits be more effective at helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from that, I, outside of Craigslist, get engaged in other activities where people are doing really good work.
One of them I noticed is called the Sunlight Foundation. That's Ellen Miller.
Yes.
She came out of the Center for Responsive Politics. She has been a champion of campaign finance reform and trying to provide as much information as possible about our corrupt campaign finance system.
Yeah, they're doing really important work, so much so I've joined the board.
Mm-hmm.
Their theme is that they're funding people to help build online tools which do things like show where the money is going in Washington. In my fantasies, for example, they'll have tools which show what money lobbyists are spending. Again, I'm talking about the predatory lobbyists who are a minority, where they're spending money and what they're getting for it, like legislation or contracts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's very valuable work. You're also involved with Consumers Union Fact Check ED. What's that?
A Fact Check ED is that arm of factcheck.org, which focuses on building curricula to teach high school students serious fact-checking.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, as budgets are cut back in news, there's not as much fact-checking as there needs to be. Maybe there never was. I don't know. So if lots and lots of people are trained to fact-check, that will dramatically change the nature of news.
Yeah, very interesting. And also Voto Latino. What's that group?
The theme is simple. Voting rights for Hispanic immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
There's not enough education on the subject. And there needs to be a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I participated in my first telenovela for them, a public service announcement where I was the star. If the Hollywood people by cameo mean star.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently Rosario Dawson was my supporting actor.
I see. Great. Well, Craig, thank you for stopping by. It's great to meet you, and I'll see you at Craigslist.
Thanks. My pleasure.
Craigslist.org. We're going to take a break and return in a moment here in Minneapolis. FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein will join me next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I have met...
Stephanie Miller, you're listening to the station that encourages you to think for yourself. Good concept. AM 540 KRXA.
It's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark Lecluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark Lecluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's 818-4033.
With gentleness overcome anger, with generosity overcome meanness, with truth overcome deceit. These words are from Buddha, and they are some of the most beautiful and powerful words on the planet. They allow us to free ourselves of our anger, our pride, and our sorrow. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am honored to say that I am here on KRXA with my little radio program, Aspire, which is heard on Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. And I hope that you will join me for a little bit of the uncommon, maybe something outside the box, something that speaks to the truth that lives within you and me. And maybe we will just find that which is the very meaning of our own existence. Please join me Saturday and Sundays at 9 a.m. here on KRXA.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Here in just a moment. While I've got a second here, I want to thank Brian Urban back at our master control for keeping us on the air. And Katrina Rill, in addition to producing my show, is coordinating all of the guests here at Radio Row for this incredible conference. Commissioner Adelstein, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on.
You're on in San Francisco and other points in California.
I love San Francisco. I went to school out at Stanford, so I miss it badly.
That's right. Stanford and Harvard?
That's right. Stanford's better.
Okay. We won't draw you into the Cal issue then.
Don't get me started. I was there at the big game when Cal stole the whole thing in 1983.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I still haven't forgiven him. Other than that, it's a beautiful place.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you for being with us here, and thank you for the advocacy that you and Michael Copps have provided for those of us who are interested in media reform on the Federal Communications Commission.
Well, I really believe it's the right thing to do. I came to San Francisco a few years ago. We held a town hall meeting at City Hall, and the outpouring of concern about media consolidation was palpable. People poured in there, and they poured out their hearts about what it's done to the community.
Mm-hmm.
It's only gotten worse since then. What have we done about it at the FCC? We've allowed further media consolidation, but thanks to a lot of the movement, we've managed to contain the damage somewhat, and now we're on the verge of taking back the FCC in a way that perhaps we can restore media democracy.
Yeah, that would be exciting. I've been to a couple of those public meetings where you take comments from citizens, and I thank you for that, because it's got to be tedious for you. Often people don't speak directly to the issue that is on the agenda, and often they go on, and even with a good MC, it can be difficult. But it really appears to me that you have taken these duties very seriously, and that you reflect those comments that you hear from average American media consumers when you are in the confines of the commission itself.
Well, it's really never been done before that the FCC has taken it on the road to talk to the American people. I think it's crucial because the law says we're supposed to serve the public interest. We have to find out what the public thinks in order to be able to serve that properly.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out the public is overwhelmingly opposed to allowing big media to get even bigger. They understand it. They live it every day. For us to reflect anything other than that would be a dereliction of our duty, as far as I'm concerned.
FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein with us just for this segment. So if you have a question or comment, get on the line now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. A lot of issues. If I could focus on the one nearest and dearest to my heart, it's about talk radio. You probably know this. We're outnumbered 9-1 by conservatives. And I do not wish to deny any conservative a microphone. I don't believe in any kind of censorship. But we do have a system that's way out of balance. And I'd like to make a quick nutshell proposal to you here. If we were to reinvigorate the license renewal process, which was, you know, dumbed down and turned into almost a rubber stamp over the last few processes, and require licensees to show that they served their community and that during the course of their license term, they provided diverse viewpoints on their broadcast facility, radio or television station, and they can prove it. Because what we have is monolithic viewpoints that come out of the programs themselves. Maybe the newscasts are more balanced and objective, but the programs themselves are very one-sided. And I believe that a licensee should have to show that they address the interests of the entire community and not just the conservative community.
Well, Peter, it's always been the obligation of licensees to serve the entire community and not just one segment. The problem is the FCC has completely dropped the ball, largely before I got there, not that I'm passing the buck, but by the time I got there, we'd found that all the public interest obligations had been gutted, and we've become nothing but a toothless tiger. It's not to enforce one viewpoint or the other, but it's to say, have you served the needs of minority communities? Have you served the needs of Chinatown as well as Pacific Heights, for example? Have you really covered all of the issues of concern to this community? That's what we used to ask. We used to ask broadcasters to go out, find out what the needs were, mm-hmm. and then come back to us at the FCC and tell us how they were met. Anymore, it's a rubber stamp process. You just ask for your license to be renewed, and it's renewed. I think that's a real opportunity for us to at least hold broadcasters' feet to the fire mm-hmm. that they're really serving their communities.
Now, could changes like that occur at the commission level, or does that require congressional legislation?
That in particular could be done at the commission level. We're the ones that set the rules as to how the broadcasters meet the public interest, so that mm-hmm. doesn't require legislation.
Mm-hmm. Now, to the newspaper television cross-ownership rule, we heard your chair, Kevin Martin, brag that he was preserving newspapers by allowing Sam Zell at the Chicago Tribune to continue to own WGN Television and WGN Radio in the same market. And I don't believe that's part of the purview of the FCC to preserve newspapers. Am I correct?
It's certainly not in our charge. Our charge is diversity, competition, localism, and I don't know how any of those goals are promoted by allowing newspapers to swallow up local media outlets.
Mm-hmm. So what is the status of that currently?
Well, we passed that rule over my objection in December. Since that time, the Senate unanimously voted to veto everything the FCC did. There was a voice vote. Actually, there were some votes in opposition, but there was a voice vote that said we disapprove of what the FCC did. Now, the House could vote on that next. That would go to the President, who's promised to veto it, but it would sure send a strong statement. I think the Senate action already sent a strong statement to those companies that might want to try to buy up a local media outlet that, hey, this isn't a good idea. And Senator Obama has come out against the idea of allowing newspapers to buy broadcast outlets. So, you know, the change is coming. I think that anybody who wants to try to expand that way is on notice that they're not on firm regulatory ground.
Well, and following that, despite what you just described, Rupert Murdoch made a run at Newsday, which would have been his third or fourth media outlet in the New York market. He bailed out of that.
Outbid, I guess.
Happy to see that, yeah. Just about a minute remaining, Commissioner. What else are you working on that you're passionate about that you'd like my listeners to know about?
Well, we need to get broadband out to all people in this country, no matter where they live, rural areas, underserved areas, low-income people, or people in Silicon Valley in particular. The future of our economy depends upon it. Other countries, as a national policy, are making it a point to expand broadband capabilities and bandwidth and to expand availability of computers and education to use them. This country is doing virtually nothing. We're saying let the market take care of it, but the market won't do enough. Other countries are making it national policy. We need to put that at the top of our agenda as well if we're going to continue to enjoy economic growth.
Is that like the rural electrification program of the 1930s?
That's one aspect of it. We need to do what they did for electricity, what we did for phone service back then, make sure everybody had a phone through the rural utility service. We've transformed that to a broadband program, but the FCC has a universal service program that funds voice. But voice is just one application over broadband pipes. Let's get those pipes big. Let's use the $6 billion a year we spend on universal service to get broadband out there. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure our kids can have computers. Let's make sure they get proper education. Otherwise, we won't be able to compete.
All right. FCC Commissioner Jonathan Adelstein, thanks for being here, and thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Please keep up the work to reform the media in this country. I'm Peter B. Collins, live from Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're going to take a break and continue. And next hour, I've been promised an encounter with Dan Rather. I'm looking forward to that, among other guests here from the National Conference on Media Reform. I'm Peter B. Collins.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. Veronique, you started the company more than 30 years ago, and was it partly because you were getting headaches from wine?
Absolutely. I'm an extremely chemically sensitive person. There were no wines, no conventionally grown wines that I could really drink and enjoy until I accidentally tasted my grandfather's wine and discovered to my extreme surprise that I could drink those wines without getting headaches. More and more people suffer the results of the accumulation of toxic substances in our environment, and our tolerance is getting really strained, and therefore it takes a very little amount of a toxic substance for them to start have an unpleasant experience.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE. Toll free, that's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A ridiculous record rise in the cost of crude.
It really does feel like I've woken up and seen Godzilla in my back garden.
And where oil goes, gas is sure to follow.
You're going to see a 10 to 15 to 20 cent increase in the next 4 days.
The Dow drops nearly 400 points. This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Jim Taylor. Oil, leaving analysts at a loss for words.
I don't know how to explain it to people. It's beyond explaining anymore. This has just hit a phase of the market where it is going to act unreasonable.
Peter Butel with Cameron Hanover, an unreasonable $11 surge today.
This is a pure case study in the panic of markets.
This is energy analyst Stephen Shork.
This is simply the crowd is rushing. They are scared. They are fearful. They cannot sell this market, and they are running to the exits. The bulls in this market know that, and they are running the market up.
Like today's new record cost for oil, $139 a barrel. Not that energy watchers like Shork expect it to stay there long.
I'm absolutely confident now that we are going to 150.
Which means the price of gas, usually on the decline, a couple of pennies in June.
June is a month where you usually see prices come off of the Memorial Day highs for gasoline, and you see prices ease for diesel and heating oil.
Tom Kloza, Oil Price Information Service, says not this June.
In the past couple of days, we've seen price increases in wholesale markets up 30 to 45 cents. We flirted with $4, backed off from it. We're going to blast through $4 as a nationwide average in the next few days.
Surging price of petroleum does have far-reaching effects, like a rougher ride on the bumpy road of life.
In Washington County, Maryland, Deputy Public Works Director Robert Slocum has the money and materials to fill potholes. But the high price of oil-based asphalt has him rethinking major repaving work.
As the prices go up, that correct fix is what we're unable to do.
His department's paying 60% more than a year ago. Same story around the country. In Larimer County, Colorado, where they normally resurface 20 miles of road every summer, this year they can only afford to do 7. Steve Kaith and CBS News.
Now this.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hey.
Hey, where are you going?
I thought I'd go over to Home Depot.
Oh, what do we need?
Maybe we'll figure it out when we get there.
It's time to remember where Dad goes when he doesn't have to go anywhere. The Home Depot. Buy any select Ryobi Power Tool Combo Kit for Father's Day and get your choice of over 30 Ryobi One Plus tools free. The Home Depot, proud sponsor of Father's Day. Offer valid through June 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
The sizzling summer sampler from the U.S. Virgin Islands is here. Now get your fifth night free. Coupons worth $200 towards activities and attractions, a $50 cash card, and up to $100 resort or room credit. So call your favorite travel agent today. Okay, now let's sing. And bring the lawyers in too.
Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations made before July 31st, 2008 for travel between May 1st and August 15th, 2008. Restrictions apply.
Wall Street reacting today. The Dow drops 394 points to finish at 12,209. The Nasdaq loses 75 points and the S&P 500 down 43. Now, one of the things catching investors' attention today, the unemployment picture.
The latest snapshot of the economy isn't the sort of Kodak moment economists were hoping for.
A half a point jump in unemployment is huge. This indicates a major meltdown in the jobs market.
The increase in joblessness the government is reporting was the biggest in 22 years and put May unemployment at 5.5%. University of Maryland economist Peter Morici.
Manufacturing lost 26,000 jobs, construction 34,000 jobs. Overall, this indicates that the job market continues to be quite tough for the ordinary worker.
The bottom line, the economy lost 49,000 jobs in May. Frank Sedapani, CBS News.
Those lost jobs, a sign, according to the president.
This rise was caused in part by a surge of new young entrants into the job market. But it's clearly a sign that is consistent with slow economic growth.
Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, what did they talk about at their clandestine get-together last night? CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
Both senators wanted their meeting to be secret and away from prying reporters. Obama offered to meet Clinton wherever she wanted, and she chose the Washington home of her friend and fellow senator, Dianne Feinstein. Feinstein says she set them up in two comfortable chairs in her living room, gave them some water, and left them alone. She said they talked for about an hour with no aides or anyone else in the room, then came out laughing and bid her goodnight.
Perhaps Senator Clinton will talk about what they talked about tomorrow when she formally ends her White House quest with a Washington event with supporters. You're listening to the CBS News World News Roundup.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hey.
Hey, where are you going?
I thought I'd go over to Home Depot.
Oh, what do we need?
Maybe we'll figure it out when we get there.
It's time to remember where Dad goes when he doesn't have to go anywhere. The Home Depot, where you'll find his perfect Father's Day gift, like a Brinkman 4-burner gas grill for just $199, or give him a Home Depot gift card. The Home Depot. Proud sponsor of Father's Day. U.S. only. See store for details.
Guys, June 15th is coming, a.k.a. Father's Day. So now's the time to report to Dockers Headquarters, a.k.a. the men's store inside JCPenney. Through Saturday, buy $75 of Dockers clothing and accessories and get a free $50 award card good for any men's store purchase. Check out their unbeatable selection of Dockers. Shorts, pants, sports shirts, gifts. They don't mess around when it comes to Dockers, and you shouldn't mess around when it comes to Father's Day. The men's store inside JCPenney is a smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney. See store for details.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Beaming to you live all the way from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and the Minneapolis Convention Center, the site of the National Conference for Media Reform, I remain your humble host, Peter B. Collins, humbled by the presence of a lot of great activists, people who work in the business, people who observe it, people who live and die by it, like political leaders like Keith Ellison, the first Muslim elected to Congress. And we talked with him earlier today. We'll have that interview for you next hour. We have our fingers crossed that Dan Rather may join us here in the next half hour or so. We're still awaiting his arrival here at Radio Row. But there's quite a buzz going here, and people of all stripes are interested in media reform. Cliff Schechter joins us today. He is the author of The Real McCain, with that subtitle called Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't. And he's also the author and editor of Cliff Schechter's Campaign Silo, which is right there on the homepage. The link is at firedoglake.com. Hey, Cliff, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Peter?
I'm doing pretty well, and I'm really glad to be here. This is an event I enjoy. Nevada and a movement that I care about. And we do have a lot of work to do to reform the media in this country. And
I thought we could maybe just hand it all over to Rupert Murdoch and solve the problem that way.
He would just send us checks?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah, cash it out?
Sure.
Uh-huh.
Murdoch world. It's coming anyhow. No, that's what we're here to stop. We're here to stop that.
Right. So this past week, John McCain floated a proposal of dual town hall meetings, duets with Barack Obama, and the Obama campaign seems to be entertaining this concept. What's your thought about this? Is there some trickery involved? Does McCain, have those members? I guess they won't be able to ask him, what are you going to do to Hillary, and that word that rhymes with rich, but...
Well, I had a number of thoughts. Initially, to me, it jumped out right away that John McCain obviously was trying to put Barack Obama on the defensive. You know, do the little strutty walk that he likes to do, be the tough guy, I'll meet you anywhere, anytime, even in a Baghdad market if I've got 100 soldiers protecting me and 6 Apache helicopters, that kind of thing.
Right.
But obviously he asked, here's the presidential campaign that just won in Barack Obama. He's asking him to drop whatever he's doing 12 days later and meet him in New York, which is obviously just silly.
Yeah.
Now, I chose to take it a step further than your average person. Just for the heck of it, I looked up McCain's schedule that day, and what do you know? He was full of events that day. He had a fundraiser, I believe, in Connecticut for $2,300 a head if you want to go to a private party with him, $1,000 if you just want to hang out with the ordinary people, the non-elitists, if you will.
Yeah.
He had another event in New Hampshire, a town hall. So obviously he doesn't even seem to be telling his people his own BS, because I don't think they, it obviously was floated knowing, assuming that Obama would say no. That's my first thought. And the second thought I'll say quickly is, I don't know why McCain would ever want to get next to Obama on a stage any more times than he has to, because I think he'll get destroyed. I think his people's line of thinking is, as long as the audience keeps cutting in and asking questions, and it's not too freewheeling, so McCain actually has to, realize what his position is for longer than 35 seconds, then maybe he can do better in that kind of an atmosphere. I don't know.
But Cliff, your book, The Real McCain, is directly responsible for at least one embarrassing moment at a town hall meeting, and maybe more. We know that McCain was asked about the scurrilous remarks, the comments, epithets that he aimed at his own wife. He called her a trollop and a word for the female sexual parts that we're not allowed to say on radio.
Yeah, trollop was the nicer word.
Yeah, and a man brought that up at a town hall meeting. If I'm not mistaken, it was in Minnesota.
It was in Iowa, but close enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did happen, and you... You'd have to say. I mean, they're going to obviously do a Bushian job, I'm assuming, of picking who shows up in those crowds to the point of tasing everybody and, to have all sorts of tear gas, because God forbid anybody ask him a question like that. I'm sure he'll try and prevent that. But, yeah, there is a risk in that. And the question we were talking about earlier, where a woman asked him about his past infidelities as he pushes for, there to be, to overthrow the California decision so that there can't be gay marriage. So, because, if you don't have sanctity in your own marital life, how are you questioning others? He, of course, ignored that. So there is the possibility, whether inspired by my wonderful book, The Real McCain, that everybody should buy a copy of, or just for a variety of other reasons, that, yes, he could get a tough question or two.
Yeah.
And he'll just avoid it and move to something else.
But if Obama is there and a tough question is asked, Obama will, at minimum, he's fairly diplomatic about these things, but he will remind Senator McCain that he didn't answer the question. And so I think it is a risky move for McCain on most respects.
I do, too. I think it tells me, anyhow, that there's a certain weakness there that they're seeing in their polls and other places where they feel like they need to throw a Hail Mary of sorts. They speak very confidently about how the electoral map favors them because, the silly conventional wisdom now that because of what happened with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, that Obama have a hard time winning Ohio and winning Pennsylvania, when obviously, if you get a choice between chocolate and vanilla and a choice between chocolate and strawberry, you may have different decisions both times, if you see what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That it's a stupid comparison. Obama, as someone who lives in Ohio, I think Obama can do quite well there with the economic situation that we're in and the corruption from the Republican side. So, I think that maybe the McCain people are too smart, and they know that this is BS, and they've looked behind the numbers. They see how soft things are. They see western states like Colorado just drifting away from them. Maybe they think they just have to take a chance. Hope Obama says something crazy or does something, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see. My guess is that Obama won't travel to Iraq with John McCain, but he might go to some place like Columbus, Ohio or Colorado Springs and hold one of these town hall meetings. It could be very interesting just for the contrast and just for Obama basically calling the bluff.
Right. And I think, you know, what they might want to do is take a walk in a marketplace in Indiana, because I hear it's the exact same thing as Baghdad anyhow. So why waste all that gas, which costs a lot of money these days, thanks to John McCain and George Bush? Why not just go on a trip to Indiana? Same thing.
Cliff Schechter with us, author of The Real McCain, here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's with us for about four more minutes, so if you have a question or comment, you got to get on the line pronto at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Cliff, this was a modestly embarrassing moment, but it was a couple of weeks ago when you updated me about Phil Graham's central role in the John McCain campaign. Somehow I had missed that. And he is touted as the top economic advisor to McCain, and we now know that he wrote the Graham, it's a bill with his name and two others on it back in 98 or 99 that
I'm trying to remember the other name.
It deregulated the investment banks.
Yes. It essentially eliminated the 50, 60 year protection, longer Glass-Steagall that separated investment and commercial banks for very good reason, because that some of those dealings and conflicts of interest helped get us into the Great Depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now Phil Graham has been working for UBS?
Yes. He deregulated UBS and magically he got a job there when he left.
Well, come on. Enron shut down. What were his choices?
That's true. And he was the senator from Enron for a while, too. In addition to that, he was the senator who, both after the Oklahoma City bombing and 9/11, blocked banking transparency because we wouldn't want to know where terrorist dollars are going, because he wanted to protect his banking clients who stuffed his pockets full of money. Protected terrorists before us. I mean, protected big corporations before us. I brought out another story the other day on the campaign silo, where he was pushing this scheme known as death bonds for a while, where literally to fill up the coffers of the insurance, the retirement fund for teachers, Texas, his company would front the money so that they could bet on teachers dying. And when they died, they could collect the insurance money and throw it back into the teacher's retirement fund, and they could take a chunk of it. Even McCain has been horrified by this, and so has everybody. I mean, literally, it was a Ponzi scheme betting on people dying.
Is he a former Undertaker?
He certainly looks like he's been underground for the better part of a century. Just think about this for a second. Think about the damage to our financial markets, the subprime housing crash, the foreign terrorists, death bonds. I mean, this is who could be the Secretary of the Treasury.
Ouch, you're hurting me. And that's the hardest part of your book, Cliff. He imagines the McCain cabinet just to really drive home how dangerous it would be to elect that senator from Arizona.
And Phil Graham is a guy who I see as the Treasury Secretary. Yeah.
Now, Bob Barr was a former congressman from Georgia.
Yes.
He has now surfaced as the Libertarian nominee for president. I don't know that he'll qualify on the ballot of every state, but the Libertarians do pretty well in getting ballot access. So can he be a spoiler here who could take away critical votes, maybe even win a state or two at the expense of John McCain?
He absolutely could be a spoiler. There are some people the other day who were trying to argue, well, you know, independents, Libertarians who often tend to be independent are much more heavily based in the North, so that would be where the differences would be. And I argued, well, while some of that's true, you can't forget he's a conservative. There are a lot of conservatives angry at Bush right now, and McCain by extension, and McCain for other reasons, and his name recognition is really in the Southeast. So the argument I made in a blog post a week or two ago is that he really could hurt McCain in Georgia, but it turns out I didn't even give Barr enough credit, because a new poll came out and showed that not only could he put the race much closer in Georgia, but in North Carolina, even more so, it became a within the margin of error race. You only had McCain up 43-40, so now you imagine new voters come out, huge African-American registration in both those states. Yeah. I could see Obama winning North Carolina and either coming very close or maybe squeaking by in Georgia, and then you have to factor in the Alaska, Montana, New Hampshire, a variety of states that have a lot of independent libertarians who, instead of just sucking it up and voting for the GOP who they've come to detest, they could do something different. Yeah. They could make a difference.
Well, I like the way you think, and we'll pursue that in a future conversation.
I hope there'll be many, my friend.
Cliff Schechter, live in Minneapolis with me here at the National Conference on Media Reform. Pick up his new book, The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him and Why Independents Shouldn't, and check out his blog at firedoglake.com. Thanks, you, Cliff.
Hey, always a pleasure, Peter.
We're going to return and see who's next here. At the National Conference for Media Reform, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Fritti di Mar Grill in Marina is a delicious haven for lovers of Italian seafood, pasta, and salads at neighborly prices. Owners Tito and Sonia Perez invite you to their new restaurant, Fritti di Mar Grill, for lunch or dinner weekdays and on Saturdays from 4 p.m. Every tasty meal comes with generous portions of Salvadoran warmth. Fritti di Mar Grill is at 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in friendly Marina. Browse to FrittiDiMarGrill.com or call 384-8525.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday. I'm Nate Nix, checking traffic on KRXA, and pretty quiet as we start things off today. Davis Road south of Acacia Street in Salinas. Watch out for pieces of a wooden fence in the lanes. Also, North 101 after Main Street, Salinas. We have a stalled car. All the activity actually in the center divide. CHP is on the scene, but you may see some heavy traffic as you approach the area. Also in Monterey, northbound 1 near Del Monte Boulevard, a Jeep lost a hardtop. Looks like that's partially in the right-hand lane, so watch out there. Highway 68 currently checking in. Problem-free. Southbound 101, seeing those brake lights from about Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into Morgan Hill, and southbound 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. Of course, heavy there. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, report to Dockers headquarters, a.k.a. the men's store, inside JCPenney. Great deals on Dockers. Make the men's store the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Hey, Bob.
We continue on the Peter B. Con-
Collins Show, live from the Minneapolis Convention Center, the site of the National Conference for Media Reform, and co-founder of Free Press, the organizers of this event. John Nichols joins us here. And John, I want to first thank you for your excellent contributions to the Peter B. Collins Show during the extended primary season this year.
I loved being out with you. Remember, we did kind of daily during the Iowa and some of the New Hampshire. And, you know, look, Peter, you've been doing great radio for forever, and the only reason I'm not on your show every night is because I have a 4-year-old and I got a.
She's right here.
Yeah,
hello, Whitman.
With me right here, but I think, well, we can go on and on about it. I think you just have one of the best shows on radio, and I'm a big fan.
Well,
so thank you.
That's fine, but I wanted to thank you because you offer us a lot of interesting views and often bring fresh angles to things. Your Iowa coverage, in particular, was different from everything else we were getting.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I harken back to it now because I was at a caucus in Dubuque on the night of the caucuses, and you know, we hear so much in our lousy mainstream media about how, oh, Barack Obama's got to hide the fact that his middle name is Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
At that caucus, which was packed with folks, the kid who was doing the speech for Obama, everybody gets to give a speech, he got up and he's trying to convince the Clinton and the Edwards people that's come over and back Obama.
Yeah.
And you know what he said? He said, "The man's middle name is Hussein. Do you understand? If we elect him, the whole world will forgive us." Now, he may not have been right, but what a disconnect from our media. Our media says, oh, this is a scary, terrible thing. And here, this guy's winning votes by mentioning that. And so what I try to do is go out and actually be among some real folks and suggest that the way that our media covers most politics is actually destructive to democracy. It breaks the connection. And it says to folks, no, do not trust your better angels. Lincoln was wrong.
Yeah.
Instead, go with your fears. Go with your bad instincts. Go with your racism, your sexism, your ageism. And our media has taken what could have been a very beautiful moment this year and what really was shaping up quite nicely early on, and they have infected it with all of their pathologies. We have fault lines in this society, race, gender, class. Well, boy, instead of helping us to leap over those fault lines, our media again and again said, stop, look, there's a fault line there.
Right.
And then if we didn't trip, they tripped us.
Yeah.
It's been they have not done well.
Mm-hmm.
And as we go into this race between Obama and McCain, I think to myself, I know McCain quite well. I've interviewed him many times. I know Obama pretty well. I've interviewed him a lot. They're honorable men who respect one another. And if our media would just behave and treat this as the selection of a president rather than a mud fight,
right?
I think these guys could go out and do those 10 town hall meetings and actually have a pretty darn good discourse.
John Nichols, I want to thank you, too, for Free Press and the media reform movement, because you really have coalesced it in a fascinating way. I was telling your colleague, Bob McChesney, that this conference brings together real people together with those of us inside the industry or the business who want to change it. And you also attract the folks who could actually do something, the commissioners from
You're
the SEC.
My kid playing with Michael Copps here. No, look at this. This is the thing about Free Press. When we formed Free Press, we did not call it an organization. We called it a network, and we chose that word very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
We did not want to be another big office in Washington. Our headquarters is in Northampton, Massachusetts. We wanted to be out of Washington, and we have organizers all over this country, because our concept was that the people knew how to fix the media. They just didn't know how to get that message up to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the work we do is just go to folks that are already in the game, like you, doing good media, independent media, alternative media folks all over the country, as well as activists and working journalists, and say, you know, look, let's get together and let's get our pitchforks and let's head for Washington. We'll storm the FCC. And then found out we had Michael Copps and Jonathan Adelson inside willing to open the door.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, we elect ourselves a new president, change Congress a little. This is a movement that could actually succeed.
And will the NRA still be a part of the media reform movement?
They're welcome.
I'm sure they're welcome, but will they elect to participate if they see it as a democratic movement?
Well, we don't want to be a democratic movement. You know, I was on a panel about the election just a little bit ago, and I offended a few people, but I said, look, I when we have these debates, I want Ralph Nader in the debate. And I want Bob Barr, and I want Cynthia McKinney. And I don't care what our partisan divisions are. The fact of the matter is the crisis of American politics is we tell too many people they're out.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a spectator sport between big teams. Well, it's not that. It's democracy. We are choosing our leaders. And the fact of the matter is that these are not Democratic or Republican struggles. Anybody in any organization, conservative, liberal, Democrat, Republican, whatever you want to call it, anybody who says to me, oh, no, I don't want to inform the people better. I don't want the people to have more information so that they can govern themselves. I say, you know, you don't believe in this system. You're trying to game it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I don't want you in my coalition. But anybody who says, I want to open it up, I believe we'll win the battle of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I want them in. I don't care what their ideology.
Yeah. John Nichols, about 20 seconds remaining. What's your number one goal for media reform right now?
Our number one goal is to break up big media so that we have a diverse ownership in this country and so that people at stations across this country can pick up the Peter B. Collins show, and we will have Peter B. Collins heard in every community in this nation.
Oh, I'm ready for that. Where do I sign up?
Let's just help us reform the media, brother.
John Nichols, he writes for The Nation. He's co-founder of Free Press, the organizers of the National Conference on Media Reform.
Thank you,
I'm
brother.
Peter B. Collins. We'll continue in a moment live from Minneapolis, and we're looking for Dan Rather.
He'll be here soon, and we also got lots of commissioners and all sorts
yep.
of good people.
Thank you, John Nichols.
Thank
More
you,
in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Whitman.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Choosing the right accessory. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. This is going to be the political discussion of the next 3 months. Who should be the vice president? Except this year, the candidates aren't looking for a vice president so much as an accessory, a tie that sets off the shirt. Because even if we do have weekly town halls packed with policy discussions, this is going to be an election driven by symbols, and one symbol in particular, the prospect of the first minority president. Not only that, the first president with a name that ends with an A. So the vice president can't just deliver a certain wavering state. He, or she, has to be able to turn heads. Each party has made a strong fashion statement. We have the urbane black intellectual versus the straight-talking war hero. But strong statements can repel as many people as they attract, and so must be properly accessorized by a contrasting statement. Thus, Senator Obama will have to consider a strong military figure, or a woman, and Senator McCain will have to consider a person of non-whiteness, or a woman. It's a delicate dance, because the ideal running mate may depend on who the other ideal running mate is. And that is where the Republicans have an advantage, because the deadline for picking a vice president is the convention. And the Republicans convene a full week later than the Democrats. It's the Republicans, if they have the patience to wait, who'll have the luxury of picking second. And that's got to be a little scary for the Democrats. Just think back. How many times have you walked in with the perfect tie, and you look across the room, and there's the guy with the man purse? Bam! Now this.
Attention RV owners, you might want to pull your vehicle over, because I'm about to blow your mind. Ready? GEICO now insures all types of RVs, like motorized, sport utility, towable RVs, motorhomes, trailers, and pop-ups. And if there was an RV that levitated and ran on fish and chips, they'd probably insure that too. So see how much money you could save with GEICO. Oi, where are you headed anyway? I hope it's a water park. I love those.
Now GEICO offers insurance on all the stuff that moves you, including RVs. Call 1-800-947-AUTO or visit GEICO.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
A
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We continue with our live coverage from Minneapolis and the site of the National Conference for Media Reform. If you'd like to join us this segment with a comment for former CBS anchorman Dan Rather, get on the line right now. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Dan Rather, welcome to our program today.
Peter B., I'm delighted to be with you.
Well, it's great to see you behind a radio microphone.
It's great to be back behind a radio microphone.
As I was telling you as we were just chatting a moment ago, I did appreciate your work as a correspondent and one of the longest-running anchors on the CBS television network. But I worked for CBS back in the Paley era, the old company, before a tobacco billionaire took it over. And then, gosh, it really went sideways when Mel Karmazin entered the fray there. But I recall your work on radio on the CBS network. You were on there three or four times a day. And, frankly, that was where I connected with you more than on television.
Well, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. First of all, I really enjoyed doing radio. When I came out of print after I had served my apprenticeship with wire services and newspapers, I wandered back into radio, which I'd been in early on. But radio is a unique medium. There's a communication with the audience on radio that doesn't exist in any other medium. Television is unique unto itself. Print is, of course. But I always liked the sense of intimacy. Always had a sense I was talking to someone one-on-one.
Yeah.
Maybe there were four people riding the car, but in my head and in my heart, it was always, you're talking to one other person.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about your new program, and I want you to give people an explanation of how they can find it, because it's not as easy as the old black eye.
Well, unfortunately, it is not as easy as getting CBS, and it's not easy. I do a weekly program, Dan Rather Reports, on HDNet. HDNet is high-quality, high-definition television. There are different gradations of high-definition, but this is high-quality, high-definition television.
Mm-hmm.
I work directly for Mark Cuban, who owns the network, and we premiere a new program each week, Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock in the east, 5 o'clock on the west coast, which is available two basic ways. One, through satellite transmission,
mm-hmm.
and two, for people who have cable. This is a bit complicated, but it's a reality that we deal with, that a lot of cable companies, including Time Warner, AOL, and others, carry us. But Comcast, for example, does not yet carry us.
And that's why I'm locked out right now.
Well, we'll have to fix that, Peter P.
Mm-hmm, please do.
Big thought leader such as yourself, we'll have to remedy that.
Yeah.
But if you have a cable, first thing is to check with your cable provider whether the program is available.
Mm-hmm.
If it is, it's pretty easy. You say, I'd like to get this program, and they send a man out with a small box, put the box in. I think the box costs $7,
mm-hmm.
and you're good to go.
Okay.
The other way to get it is through satellite direct TV.
Mm-hmm. Dan Rather with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And, Mr. Rather, I feel you got swift-boated. I believe you reported the truth. about George W. Bush's sorry record in the Texas National Guard, and I think they played a gotcha game with you, and that document that they were able to show couldn't have been created contemporaneously with Bush's non-service was something that I fear was planted as kind of a trap. Tell me your thoughts in retrospect on that issue, and I do respect that you have a lawsuit pending, so if you need to curtail your comments, I would understand that.
Well, thank you for that, Peter P. But let me take what you just said in three parts. We reported the truth. The story was true and is true.
Indeed.
And part of the proof of that, not the only proof, but part of the proof of that is neither the president nor anyone connected with him has ever denied the truth of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Secondarily, the documents, which were part of what we used and only part of what we used to support what we had, those who attacked the documents, frankly, most of the things that they say, for example, they say fraudulent, forgeries, phony, false. The documents have never been proven by anybody to be untrue. Now, those who didn't like the facts of the story, the truth of President George Bush's military service, were looking for something to attack. They wanted to take the emphasis off of the hard facts that were in it about his military service. And what they claimed all kinds of things. Most of the things they claim about typeface and that kind of thing simply aren't true. Widely believed it may be, but true it is not, that anybody has ever proved the documents untrue. That CBS appointed what was supposed to be an independent commission, which it was not, in my judgment, and the judgment of a lot of other people, with unlimited time and unlimited resources, they didn't demonstrate that the documents were untrue. So that's where that stands. But, you know, when you're in journalism, particularly if you operate at a reasonably high level, you're going to catch hell.
Mm-hmm.
And we caught hell about it. Who mounted the campaign against us, if indeed anybody mounted a campaign. There are plenty of bloggers out there, and I have great respect for the blogosphere and the Internet, who say, wait a minute, I wasn't part of any orchestrated effort. There was an orchestrated effort, but that doesn't mean everybody who was critical of the report and or the documents was part of that orchestration.
Mm-hmm.
But the central thing is the story was true. And as a journalist, my job is to report the truth, to get the truth or as close to the truth as is humanly possible, and pass it along to people to make their own judgment about it,
and
which is what we did with this story.
I believe, Dan Rather, that you are a casualty of that truth, and that we, in turn, are casualties of a divorce from the truth. And the corporate media in this country has recently been slapped by Scott McClellan. Now, that's the pot calling the kettle black. But I just feel that we now have a kind of dual track in this country. There's propaganda and there's real information. And there are a lot of people who only consume propaganda.
Well, unfortunately, that is true. It's one of the reasons I'm here at this Fair Press Conference. That I'm a lifetime reporter. I'm one of the lucky ones. I dreamed as a child of being a reporter. And that's what my professional life has been all about. And my job is to pull no punches, play no favorites, get the truth, report stories. I'm particularly interested as an investigative reporter in going along with one of my definitions of news, which is what it is that's important for the public to know, that somebody somewhere, particularly somebody in power, doesn't want the public to know, that's news.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest is just advertising and or propaganda. Now, you raised what I think is a key point, and I'm happy to say that I think more and more people are getting on to this, which is to say there was a time not so long ago when we Americans considered propaganda something that was put outside the country.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps necessary and worthwhile, and other people, decent people, could agree or disagree whether it was or not. But it was intended not for consumption here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That whether the president is Republican, Democrat, or mugwump, we expect the president to be honest, to be trustworthy, to be loyal to the truth and to level with people. Someone could laugh and say, well, that's the ideal. But America is about idealism.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we are. That's what we are. Now, in recent years, a succession of presidencies, both Democrat and Republican, each administration has gotten a little better about it, about pumping out domestic propaganda. What they want reporters to be are basically stenographers.
Indeed.
If you go to a press briefing, whether it be at the White House or on the campaign trail, and the candidate or his spokeswoman comes out and says something, and you just take it down and then go to your microphone, your camera, and or your newspaper and pass that along, that's being a stenographer. That's not being a journalist. What a journalist does ideally, and I'm not a perfect journalist by any stretch of the imagination, but both the idea and the ideal of being an American journalist is that you look at what's happening and what's being said, you take it down, you make your notes, and then you say, okay, what's really going on in there?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that they don't want me to know? And then you start making telephone calls and wearing out shoe leather and talking to people, and sometimes it checks out.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times it doesn't. So that's what we're dealing with here. And when Scott McClellan, in his book, What Happened, he basically confirmed what we already knew,
mm-hmm.
which is that the whole White House operation is geared to the political process. It's the politicizing of almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's get on message, stay on message, pump the message out. And if there's something that you don't want people to know, if anybody finds out about it and even looks like they're going to put it on the air
mm-hmm.
or make it public, then you try to destroy their credibility. And we've seen it happen time and time again.
Dan Rather, could I ask you for a moment of introspection and self-criticism here? You were in the anchor chair at CBS when we marched to war in Iraq. And I want to focus particularly on the use of the retired Pentagon generals and other officers who we now know, and I suspected at the time, were embedded in your newscast the same way reporters were embedded with troops in Iraq. And we know they were delivering talking points, personally approved by Don Rumsfeld. Do you feel that you failed us in not identifying the motives of those individuals and in not giving us the context of who they were, what defense contractors they may be working for or lobbying for? Because a whole lot of the picture was not shared with us at a very critical time.
That's fair criticism. And every criticism I've leveled about journalism, I make a point of saying I do not accept myself from the criticism, and I certainly do not accept myself from this criticism. Now, first, the general. That the press in general, there were exceptions. I do not count myself among the exceptions. But the press in general was far too intimidated. We lost our spine. We lost our guts. We lost the true definition of a patriotic journalist in the roll-up to the war. And I certainly made my mistakes. Now, that's the general overview. To the specific of the military people who had expertise and were presented as, quote, analysts, consultants, that sort of thing, I want to be careful not to smear everybody with the brush of something was wrong here. There were some, and I'm thinking of Buster Glosson, a retired U.S. Air Force general who helped us at CBS. He was very straightforward about what his business connections were and that he had sources in the Pentagon. So far as I know, he did not attend any of these special sessions in which everybody got the message points and it came out.
Mm-hmm.
So there were exceptions during that time. But the overall criticism is in the main correct, and most of us in journalism, including myself, have a lot to answer for that.
As we were launching the Shock and Awe, did you feel that you had to shift into a pro-American point of view, and you had to abandon or at least dial back on your own commitment to objective journalism?
No, I didn't feel that I had to shift into new gear. For whatever anybody may make of it, it was natural to me. And rightly or wrongly, you can approve of it or disapprove of it. Once our troops went in harm's way, my attitude was, I'm an American, and I wish them well. I know there are other views about this.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had to take me there. Everything in my upbringing, everything in my id led me to do that. It wasn't somebody else that led me to do it. And I didn't feel outside pressure to do it.
One final question, and we're tight for time. Excuse me.
Not at all.
You conducted one of the last interviews with Saddam Hussein by a Western correspondent. He told you that he didn't have any weapons of mass destruction. Did you believe him?
I didn't know what to believe. My job as a journalist is to be skeptical. But I'm so glad you raised that point. I know you're short on time. I think it was the last interview with a Western journalist. And he said two things. He said, number one, that he didn't have the weapons of mass destruction. He said that he had made every effort to prove that. One can take that for granted. The second thing he said, which turned out to be prescient, Saddam Hussein was a stone cold killer. No question about it. But he also was smart. And when I said, you're facing the greatest military armada in the history of the world, and you went through this once with Gulf War I, you don't think you can hold on. He said, no. We Iraqis will have to absorb the first major thrust and another thrust behind that. And then, in effect, he said, Dan Rather, you will see. Things will begin to turn another way. Now, I wasn't smart enough to know how things would play out.
Brian, hold the music, please.
That's right.
Yeah. Go ahead, sir. So
the second part of it turned out to be true. First part, you asked me if I believed it. I found myself agnostic about it. But he had lied about a lot of things before. So my job was to get the interview, come back, play it for the American people. No, you've got to go.
Dan Rather, thank you very much. A real pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you for your work over the years.
Thank you very much.
All right, Brian, now you can roll the music.
Thank you, Brian.
I'm Peter B. Collins. That's Dan Rather, former CBS News anchor. We're here in Minneapolis at the National Conference for Media Reform. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, good afternoon. Happy Friday. I'm Nate Nix, checking traffic on KRXA, and pretty quiet as we start things off today. Davis Road south of Acacia Street in Salinas. Watch out for pieces of a wooden fence in the lanes. Also, North 101 after Main Street, Salinas. We have a stalled car. All the activity actually in the center divide. CHP is on the scene, but you may see some heavy traffic as you approach the area. Also in Monterey, northbound 1 near Del Monte Boulevard, a Jeep lost a hardtop. Looks like that's partially in the right-hand lane, so watch out there. Highway 68 currently checking in. Problem free. Southbound 101, seeing those brake lights from about Coyote Creek Golf Drive down into Morgan Hill, and southbound 17 onto southbound 1 in Santa Cruz. Of course, heavy there. This is brought to you by JCPenney. Guys, report to Dockers headquarters, a.k.a. the men's store, inside JCPenney. Great deals on Dockers make the men's store the smart place to get in, find it, and get out. JCPenney. Now, if you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix, and that's traffic on KRXA.
Tomorrow Matters, the premier local radio program for matching the global problems of today with the solutions for a better tomorrow, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll bring in the guests, and you call in with your questions and ideas, and we'll collectively work to set the standards for a more sustainable future, and we're doing it five times a week. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays at 2, because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. New computer with high-end sound card, $4,000. Replacing satellite dish blown off roof in storm, $2,500. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains, priceless. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
The birds and the airplane did.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. To experience one-of-a-kind dishes, don't forget the weekly specials. The Mexicali Grill is open Monday through Saturday for lunch until 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
We continue our live broadcast from Minneapolis here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Media consolidation, I can't take it no more. We ought to ask John Fogerty to update that song. In a moment, Michael Copps, Commissioner of the Federal Communications Commission, will join me here at Radio Row at the National Conference for Media Reform. And while I have a moment, I want to give you an update on Al Franken's quest for the United States Senate. He hopes to challenge Republican Norm Coleman in the fall. And it's a convoluted process. So this weekend, he hopes to win the endorsement of the DFL, that's the Democratic Farmer Labor Party here in Minnesota. And then from there, there's a possibility of a primary challenge in September. So Al Franken is not in the clear, and there have been some recent dust-ups about some comedy material he wrote and a Playboy magazine article that he wrote that has surfaced in the media here in Minneapolis. Michael Copps is with us now. Commissioner, nice to talk with you again.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for all the work you do at the Federal Communications Commission. As you know, you went to work at an agency that most Americans had never heard of, and this very group helped lead the charge to fight back against Michael Powell's desire to further relax the ownership rules to allow media companies to get even bigger and dominant, more dominant than before. And that effort really led to an amazing grassroots reaction. Talk about that a little bit and how it has changed the way the commission works internally.
Well, you're absolutely right. The lesson that we're going to learn from all of this is that citizen action still counts in the United States of America. Citizens can make a difference. Do we live in a highly corporatized, impersonal world with powerful special interests? Yes, of course. We all know that. But when 3 million people contacted the FCC after Michael Powell tried to drive a truck over all of our ownership rules, which put at least some prohibitions on the number of outlets that one company could own, I don't think he ever thought, or his colleagues and accomplices ever thought, that the American people were going to give a damn about that or do anything about it. And all of a sudden, 3 million people contacted the FCC and contacted the Congress. I didn't know when I went to the FCC, 3 million people knew there was such a place.
Yeah.
But it made a difference.
Yeah.
And what did I had senators and congressmen come up to me that summer. They said, we just got back from having our town meetings back home. People are standing up asking me about media consolidation. This has never happened before.
Yeah.
Now, realize that this happen with big media studiously avoiding any coverage of the issue.
Right.
So we were dependent on folks like you, on free press, on consumer advocates, a bunch of other causes, public access channels, low power radio, all of those things. But they got enough momentum behind to get that derailed. Now, that didn't end the debate, and it continued after that.
Yeah. Now, Kevin Martin replaced Michael Powell as your Republican chair of the Federal Communications Commission. Do you find him different, or is he in any way more transparent? Powell seemed to be playing things close to the vest, and I can't get a read on Kevin Martin.
Oh, I think I have a good personal relationship with Kevin. He and I came at the same time. We have very dissimilar policy objectives. I don't know that. I haven't seen too many chairmen I call totally transparent. Of course, I've only been through two of them. Two of them there so far. But what made a difference as much as anything is we had an election in 2006, and we went from a period where, for the first 5 years I was at the FCC, I don't think we had a real comprehensive House Oversight Committee hearing. 2006, we get some changes. We're having three and four or five a year at this particular point. So that that sends a message to whoever is chairman of the biggest chairman of another party to tread maybe a little bit more lightly, but that doesn't, that hasn't kept the commission from doing some things that I think are highly inimical to the future of our media, like budgeting through a change in the newspaper broadcast cross-ownership to allow more such cross-ownership situations around the country.
Now, let me be clear.
Deregulating the internet and all of that.
On the newspaper cross-ownership rule, the Tribune Company, which has been taken over by a bottom feeder, Sam Zell, he's a takeover artist who breaks things up and sells them, and he appears to be doing that with Tribune. What was the motive of Kevin Martin to try to change the mission of the Federal Communications Commission to include preserving newspapers?
Well, you'll have to ask him. You're absolutely right. We are not the nanny or the guardian of newspapers. Our entree into them is when they are mixed in with broadcast stations, and we have broadcasting licenses, so they have to... they have to make sure that that license change is approved by us. But, you know, Michael Powell would have changed the rule to such an extent that one company could own, in the larger markets, three television stations, eight radio stations, the newspaper, already a monopoly in most markets in the United States of America. You could own the cable system. You could be the ISP.
Yeah.
How can you square that with a democracy? How can you square giving that much power to one company?
And as we've seen from Scott McClellan's book and many other critiques, during the same period of time of rampant consolidation, we've had less and less valuable information conveyed to the American people. And sometimes propaganda was offered in the place of news. So these are very critical issues, and I really appreciate the work you're doing to advocate for the public interest at the Federal Communications Commission.
Well, thank you. I'm only doing my job.
All right, sir. We'll keep doing it, and we'll keep supporting you. And if people want to contact the FCC, can they just email you at FCC.gov?
They can. They can write to FCC.gov. They can write to any of the commissioners at FCC.gov.
All right.
And I'm Michael Copps.
Michael Copps, C-O-P-P-S.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank
Great
you.
To talk with you again. I'm Peter B. Collins.
I'm John Gorenfeld, and I've just written a book, Bad Moon Rising, because I thought maybe it said something about just how crazy our politics have become when a wealthy newspaper publisher dresses up like King George III in front of congressmen, and no one seems to care. Bad Moon Rising is about the conservative love affair with the Reverend Moon, the cult leader who publishes the Washington Times, travels with the Bush family.
Reverend Moon never tried to tell him what to say.
And puts on Washington's worst dinner parties. The book is Bad Moon Rising, how Reverend Moon created the Washington Times, seduced the religious right, and built an American kingdom. The foreword's by Barry Lynn. Bad Moon Rising follows an all-star cast of conservatives as they sell their souls to a cult leader, from Jerry Falwell to John McCain's top advisor. You name them, they're in my book. Bad Moon Rising. Buy it for a conservative friend and blow someone's mind. Find out more at The King of...
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
Oh, this has been a brutal, brutal day.
Lauren Young, Business Week. A 394-point drop of the Dow today, due in part to an alarming increase in the price of oil.
We've had people predicting high oil prices all year long. So it just goes to show you that the market will glom on to one particular thing. When people are very nervous, it can make it even that more dramatic.
A dramatic $11 jump in the price of oil today. Some analysts are saying $150 a barrel is not unlikely. CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason.
If oil reaches $150, and it's now only, what, $12 away, or it rises to $200, which is not inconceivable considering where we are, we're really going to be in uncharted territory. I mean, we haven't been at those levels before, so we don't know what it's going to do to this economy. But we do know that oil at $130 is already causing people to cut back on their spending.
All the more reason, if you got a job, think about keeping it.
I'm Steve Kathan. The jobless rate leaped a half point to 5.5% in May, the biggest monthly surge in 22 years.
The reason why the unemployment rate rose this much in particular was that 1.2 million people joined the labor force while only 53,000 found jobs.
Economist Stephen Whiting, the Labor Department says employers are worried about a prolonged economic slowdown.
What will Hillary Clinton do?
She will do anything. She has made that clear. She will do anything
she can to help Barack Obama.
Terry McAuliffe, the chair of the Hillary Clinton campaign, which officially ends with a big bash in Washington tomorrow.
She will do a great campaign, 17 months. Everybody worked their hearts out. If you look at Hillary, talk about her breaking the glass ceiling. I think she's shattered.
Hillary Clinton is planning to formally throw her support behind Obama tomorrow. Just last night, the two of them holding an hour-long tete-a-tete, private conversation. Global warming, a Republican filibuster busting a Senate bill to put an actual price on carbon emissions. CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill.
The result was not surprising, and sponsors were pleased. A majority of senators voted for dramatic cuts in greenhouse gases, and those Republicans who blocked it complained about the economic impact, no longer arguing, as President Bush long did, that global warming wasn't real or proven. Still, the Republican filibuster kills any effort for a global warming bill this year, meaning backers will have to try again in the next Congress, when they hope to be helped by a new president.
The all-time home run king making an appearance today.
Barry Bonds appeared in court twice during the first hearing before a federal magistrate. A plea of not guilty was entered on his behalf. During the second hearing, a trial date was set, March 2nd of next year. Bonds is charged with 15 counts of perjury and obstruction of justice. His attorney, Alan Ruby, says his client is not guilty.
Barry Bonds is innocent. And we're looking forward now to a March 2nd trial where once and for all that will be confirmed.
Bonds looked relaxed during the two hearings. He is free on a $500,000 signature bond.
That's Steve Futterman. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas. We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations. Which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Imagine all the possibilities for your next painting project. Now imagine saving up to 25% too. From June 5th through the 9th is the Summer Savings Event at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams Paint Store. Save up to 25% on exceptional Sherwin-Williams paints, stains, wall coverings, and more. But don't wait. Hurry in and save only at Sherwin-Williams for painting, decorating, and great savings. Sherwin-Williams. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Get on it and ride.
Bicycle, bicycle.
But in one town at least, you better wear something while you're riding.
Tucson authorities are warning people not to even think about riding their bicycles naked through the city tomorrow. Apparently somebody's been handing out flyers for the Tucson World Naked Bike Ride. The invitation to go as bare as you dare. An event website says similar rides have been done to protest high oil prices, to promote cycling, and to celebrate the human body. Tucson City Attorney says the would-be riders would be violating the city's public indecency statutes, a misdemeanor. Unless there are children present, in that case it becomes a felony. Peter King, CBS News.
Add oil. Maybe it takes on a different connotation in China. That's a ubiquitous sporting chant there, being incorporated now into an officially sanctioned routine for fans to use at the upcoming Beijing Olympics. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Oh, hey, Dad.
Hey.
Hey, where are you going?
I thought I'd go over to Home Depot.
Oh, what do we need?
Maybe we'll figure it out when we get there.
It's time to remember where Dad goes when he doesn't have to go anywhere. The Home Depot. Buy any select Ryobi Power Tool Combo Kit for Father's Day and get your choice of over 30 Ryobi One Plus tools free. The Home Depot, proud sponsor of Father's Day. Offer valid through June 18th in U.S. only. See store for details.
The sizzling summer sampler from the U.S. Virgin Islands is here. Now get your fifth night free. Coupons worth $200 towards activities and attractions, a $50 cash card, and up to $100 resort or room credit. So call your favorite travel agent today. Okay, now let's sing.
This is how life's meant to be.
And bring the lawyers in too.
Offer valid at participating hotels on reservations made before July 31st, 2008. For travel between May 1st and August 15th, 2008. Restrictions apply.
Thank you.
live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Peter B. Collins, live from that progressive outpost, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We're here at the National Conference on Media Reform. I need some help with my Minnesota accent. Maybe there's some locals here who could help translate for me. We're here at the Convention Center in downtown Minneapolis, and the event is winding down for the day in the Central Time Zone. It's a little after 7 o'clock, and it's a very interesting array of people who you've heard over the past couple of hours. I was particularly pleased to be able to talk with Dan Rather and share the honest exchange, criticism about his work, among others, as we went into this media-driven episode called Bush's War in Iraq. A little bit later this hour, John Stauber will be joining us, and let's see who else we have lined up here. Keith Ellison, the congressman from Minneapolis here, who is the first Muslim elected to Congress. I had a chance to interview him just a little earlier today, and we'll play that conversation for you on the half hour. And right now, I have no guest at my microphone, and that means I can open up the phone lines to talk with you. So if there is something on your mind, if you want a little more information about Al Franken, I'm going to share that here in a second. But if you want to talk about media, about politics, about things going on in the news, you're welcome to call in right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. And as I mentioned, there was a front-page story in the Minneapolis newspaper today about Al Franken's Senate campaign. And you may know that there was some negative publicity for him a few weeks ago about some unpaid income taxes in various states, including California. It happened when Franken was a highly paid keynote speaker and comedy actor who went around the country and worked for different people. That appears to be behind him. But now his opponents are dredging up some scripts that he wrote at Saturday Night Live, an article that he wrote about the future of pornography. I never read it. It was in Playboy magazine in 2000. But apparently, you know, quotes and sound bites are being lifted from these ancient materials, and it is, you know, trying to be used against him in this campaign. So this weekend, Franken faces the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, which is a very unusual extension of the Democratic Party here in Minnesota. And if he wins that nomination, it appears that he will avoid a primary. But if he doesn't, there could be a primary challenge in September. And this whole process is a little bit different from anything I've ever seen before. So it remains to be seen exactly what his prospects are. But I will say that Al Franken has hit some turbulence in his campaign for the United States Senate here in Minnesota. John Stauber has stepped up to the microphone right now. John, of course, was on our program just a few weeks ago. He's with the Center for Media and Democracy based in Madison, just a few miles down the road from here.
5 hours.
John, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Peter. It's great to see you here in the great Midwest instead of the left coast, although I love seeing you there.
Yeah.
Because it means I'm out there.
First up, just to follow up on what I was describing about Al Franken's situation, are you able to educate me a little bit on this process? He's got to win the endorsement of the DFL.
Now, Peter, let me tell you something.
All right.
I'm from Wisconsin.
Right.
This is Minnesota.
I know there are different states
and
everything.
It's a different thing here. This is Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
I'm like Green Bay Packers. We barely talk. This is like Lutheran. I'm like repressed Catholic.
So it doesn't get into your cheese head?
It's a very different system. Yeah, the whole the farm labor history is very interesting. It goes back to, as you were probably explaining, some really interesting populist politics. But the process, no, I can't explain it.
All right. Well, we'll just keep asking and somebody will explain it to me eventually.
Hey, I think we've got some Minnesotans here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just had a very interesting conversation with Dan Rather.
I saw.
brought up the issue that you care a lot about and that I am so proud of you for representing us on the PBS NewsHour, which remains the only network television broadcast that has covered the New York Times expose of Rumsfeld's propaganda campaign inside the United States.
And let me say, that's even after the U.S. House of Representatives voted about a week ago to initiate an official investigation of this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And still, the TV networks where these propagandists were embedded are silent in telling the American people, their audience.
They could have brought it up and blamed it on Scotty Boy.
Scotty Boy, good time to blame everything.
Yeah.
Oh, if only Scotty had told us they were misleading
right.
us, we would have gotten it straight.
Yeah.
Gee.
Yeah. Now, did you hear Rather's response?
No.
Well, what he said was, first of all, there were some generals who were, in his view, not connected to the Pentagon and who offered what he
right.
thought was honest commentary. But then he acknowledged that in general, when we went to war, he shifted into a pro-American position.
Mm-hmm.
And that I asked him, you know, if he failed us, and he kind of danced around it a little bit. He said, well, I do not accept myself from the criticism, but he didn't quite personally embrace it either.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You just jogged my aging memory of a week after 9/11. Remember how the New York shows like Letterman were off the air September 11th for an entire week? Letterman came back on September 18th. Absolutely shameful. David Letterman's shtick was, why haven't we attacked someone yet?
Yeah.
This was his comedy routine.
Hmm.
This reflected a sentiment in the country, but this was also like pouring gasoline on a fire. His guest that night was Dan Rather. And Rather had a real opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
Very emotional time.
Yeah.
To really provide some insight and to be a voice of reason. But instead, I don't know if people remember this, Dan really, he fell apart emotionally, and he didn't help shed any light on this. And it was a time when the Bush administration, of course, we now know, immediately beginning on 9/11, chose to use it, to exploit it, to attack Iraq. And the news media fell right in line, and it was unfortunately the perfect propaganda storm. And by 2002, the Pentagon was embedding these generals into the news media who were delivering the propaganda message of the Bush administration and Donald Rumsfeld. A lot of people here, of course, are very enthusiastic because unless there's another 9/11 type event, God forbid, that the right wing can exploit, it's almost certain that the Democrats are going to further gain control of the House, gain control of the Senate, and Barack Obama has a good shot at being President of the United States. But I think now we have to begin to say the Democrats have tremendously failed us since 2006 in a couple of ways, in a few ways, really. One way they failed us is Nancy Pelosi came in and she delivered that famous line about how impeachment is off the table. That wasn't anything but a calculated decision to prevent investigations. She said, well, we don't want to further divisiveness. We need to get to the bottom. We need to, you know, clean this ugly wound out. Half the American public still believe that the weapons of mass destruction were discovered in Iraq,
yeah.
that Saddam was involved in 9/11. I mean, you cannot go forward and have a sane, humane, secure foreign policy when you've got this propaganda campaign still there, still poisoning the minds of the public. We have to expose it, and the networks won't even report on their own complicity.
Right.
They have a long way to go, and the Democrats, somebody asked me on one of the interview programs today, do you think if Obama's elected that there will be these investigations? No, because we could have them right now. You don't have to wait to control the White House. These are congressional investigations.
Well, they didn't have to wait for Scott McClellan to publish a book to call him as a witness. Even short of impeachment, there's a lot of oversight.
And why aren't they calling him now? Maybe
right?
they are. I haven't been reading the news.
Well, there have been these, you know, public discussions that Conyers wants to talk to him, and he's willing to visit with him.
To visit.
Maybe lunch at Tony Trupiano's
place.
It's
only the Congress. You know? Yeah, like maybe a little behind closed door session.
Right.
You know.
John Stauber's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're live from Minneapolis. And John, as we look at this, the media really was so deeply complicit in the selling of this war and the avoidance of all the uncomfortable things, the cost of the occupation, the returning cadavers at Dover Air Force Base. They really
the number of dead.
Right.
The military is not reporting the fact that the best estimate now is close to or maybe even beyond a million dead Iraqis and, of course, millions of refugees.
Yeah.
I mean, this is now approaching the horror of Vietnam in terms of we're not talking about 10,000 dead. We're not talking about 100,000 dead. We're talking about a million dead Iraqis. And we're no nearer the end of this than we were 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I've been trying to pursue here today is how do we return to the truth as a standard?
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get beyond the spin of network television, which really just wants us to watch the commercials, and the spin from the White House, which just wants network television to play it unedited.
Mm-hmm. Well, Peter, you and I are going to march into these networks, and we're taking them over.
Okay.
I've
got at least one high-limit credit card here. How far will that get me?
you're going to be doing your Katie Couric imitation next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the
CBS. Will I have to shave my legs?
Probably, but... You do already, I heard. No, I mean, this is the problem.
John Stauber with us. He's the co-author of many books, including Weapons of Mass Deception and The Best War Ever. And he is co-founder of the Center for Media and Democracy. Visit their website, prwatch.org. Live from Minneapolis, it's the Peter B. Collins Show.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Checking traffic on KRXA and Slim Pickens on a Friday. Just one stall reported for Soquel City Streets, Cordelia Lane at 41st Avenue. Broken down car, it's partially blocking the roadway. May actually be blocking someone's driveway. Apparently, the owner of the vehicle and the owner of the home having a disagreement. CHP is on the scene trying to sort things out and get that vehicle moved out of the way. Heavy traffic southbound 101 as you're getting out of the South Bay from about Bailey Avenue, down to about downtown Morgan Hill. The Fishhook, of course, some heavy traffic south 17 onto southbound 1 with continuing slow traffic out to 41st Avenue in Capitola. Also heavy traffic reported eastbound 152 as you approach 156 right now. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call, 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. There goes no doubt, I'm just a girl. We're live from Minneapolis in the National Conference on Media Reform, and of course I'm trying to keep up on all the things going on in the news. Hillary Clinton had a secret meeting with Barack Obama at Senator Feinstein's home in Washington last night, and we don't know exactly, at least I don't know exactly what they worked out, but it should be very interesting. And without prior knowledge on her part, Liz Winstead joins us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Liz,
do I wear the hat?
Welcome.
I have the radio hat on.
You know the drill.
No one else let me wear the cans on my ears, and
really?
It makes me feel like a professional.
Well, you are.
Well,
Liz, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
I have a trick question.
Uh-oh, I hate that, but okay, I'm going for it. Stop. Shh. Okay.
If Hillary called and said, I need a line for tomorrow to explain why I waited until now to acknowledge that Barack Obama is the Democratic nominee for president.
I would say, why don't you call some of those people who are going to vote for McCain and ask them for a line? Because I'm not taking your call.
But what if she called at 3 a.m.?
If she called me at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
I would first of all say, wait a minute, I thought your husband said that you were 60 and couldn't stay awake and we couldn't really expect you to have clear of head after 11. And then I would say, why don't you call one of those people who are John McCain?
Or you could say, what time is it in Tuzla?
Yes.
And are the snipers still there?
What time is it in the weird parallel world that you're living in, Hillary, that I've never visited? And thank God, because I think it might be where you go when you die if you were bad.
So was there anything funny in this year's presidential primaries for you?
Oh, I wish, you know what? There's always funny in presidential primaries, you know, because I always say, never fall in love with a presidential candidate.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, they say never kiss a hooker.
Oh.
Yeah, you should never kiss a hooker on the mouth.
Okay.
Because, you know, it's all about money and it's dirty and there's no relationship there and don't fool yourself.
Did anybody tell Elliot?
No.
Okay.
I think there apparently is a level of money where you do a kiss the hooker. And Elliot Spitzer, I think, really hit it. I think he hit the, whatever that campaign finance sex wall is, he made, I think, the maximum amount of money that he could donate.
He maxed out, yeah.
He maxed out. So much fun, you know, because the bottom line is, even if a candidate seems like, wow, this is something I could get behind, it's a fatal flaw,
mm-hmm.
you know, because really what they've done is they've sat down, they've assessed the world, they've assessed themselves, and they've said, hey, do you know what's wrong with the
mm-hmm.
entire universe?
Yeah.
I'm not in charge. And that's not a person that's actually really trustworthy. That's a person who's a bit megalomaniacal, even though they may have a good spot.
Yeah. Liz, could you extend your hand, please?
Yes.
I would just like to kiss it.
Oh, my God, that's so
because
exciting.
Because you are the creator of The Daily Show.
I am.
And my life is more satisfying. Because sometimes I fall asleep before it's quite over, before we get to the moment of Zen.
Yes.
I've never quite understood what that is, but...
I'll tell you.
Will you?
Yes.
Okay. But it really helps me. It's a kind of therapy. It helps me to know that many people are actually getting some news from the phony news that they see.
Yeah.
And I believe that it's been one of the most important devices in helping people develop healthy skepticism about all the BS that's on the other channels.
Well, you know, it's so, I mean, I'm glad you say that because that is, that was the intent and that was the goal and
it's
that was the wish.
Too.
But, you know, the wish is, gosh, I was trying to pinpoint, when did we become a country where people stopped asking questions? And then, when did it become a country where journalists stopped asking questions? And then, when did it become a country where it was only the stand-up comedians and the people on late-night talk shows who were asking the questions?
Yeah.
And it was like, well, if we're the ones that are going to be asking the questions, independent media and the satirists, then you have an obligation to not stop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in it. You're sort of in the pool.
Yeah.
And now you just keep asking.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. But the moment of Zen.
Yes, what is it?
It came from on the old CBS This Morning show with Charles Carroll. Remember when they would end the show all the time and he'd say, "We quit the show by watching the egret nest in the state of Africa." And then they would show these beautiful birds nesting. And every week it would be just like, you know, harvested wheat or some really amazing sort of peaceful thing.
Yeah.
So we wanted to end the Daily Show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, more of a Zen. And then it's just squawking or horrible, you know, the opposite of a Zen moment.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That is where the moment of Zen came from.
Well, Dan Rather was here a little while ago, and I commented on his tagline of courage. And once upon a time, I got on a flight from Washington to Phoenix, and Hugh Downs was a sitting duck in the first class section.
Was he hosting Jeopardy at that point?
Or no,
was,
or 2020.
It was the later Hugh Downs.
Correct.
Okay.
And I went up to him and I said, "We're in touch, so you be in touch. What the hell does that mean?" And he said, "I don't know." He said, "It's on the prompter and I read it." But he said, "I think it came out of a focus group somewhere." But he and Barbara Walters, he said they never knew what that meant and why they were supposed to say it.
Okay, but now, this is fundamentally, are we going to break?
Yes.
Okay.
You're being played off. Go ahead.
Fundamentally, what's wrong is that it was in the prompter, so I said it.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is why we're in the mess we're in.
Liz Winstead, a pleasure to meet you. And
thanks for having me.
Thanks for the Daily Show and everything else you've brought us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a break. Congressman Keith Ellison, the first Muslim in the
Yay!
House.
Yay! From my old district where I lived when I lived in Minneapolis.
Next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Socolo Restaurant in Pacific Grove is the place to go when you're looking for ultra-authentic Mexican food. From our handmade tortillas to our delicious Angus skirt steak, Socolo does it right. You won't find canned tomatoes, frozen meat, or pre-made items at Socolo. Everything is made here. We proudly use only Angus beef. Some of our specialty items include pozole, chicken mole, handmade sopes, and the only handmade flour tortilla on the peninsula. We feature seafood items like wild salmon, ceviche, and numerous shrimp and fish dishes. If you're looking for fresh and authentic Mexican food, Zocalo is the place to go. Zocalo is located at 162 Fountain Avenue in Pacific Grove. Our phone number is 373-7911. Catering and food to go is also available. Zocalo Restaurant at 162 Fountain Avenue, Pacific Grove is the place to go for quality, authentic Mexican food. Call 373-7911 for takeout or reservations. Zocalo will also be opening soon in downtown Salinas. Look for us.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm John.
And we're from All Class Transportation, where we take you to your special event in style, comfort, and safety. All Class Transportation is a truly professional local luxury transportation company with over 25 years of combined managerial service, an efficient, proactive staff, trained, certified chauffeurs, and a fleet of well-maintained luxury vehicles. We are well-suited to meet and exceed your specific needs.
All Class Transportation specializes in personalized luxury transportation, including company parties, corporate events, weddings, quinceañeras. Whatever your needs, call All Class Transportation at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338. Want to know about our rates? At All Class Transportation, our service and rates are second to none, period. We are All Class Transportation, TCP 22978A. Call us at 831-582-9338. That's 582-9338.
Sofas, dinette sets, mattresses, and more. If you have a home furnishing need, we're the place you need to be. So come on down to your friendly town of Marina and visit us. Furniture Outlet, 3056 Del Monte Boulevard in Marina.
Installing new transmitter, 50,000 cool ones. Operating the finest talk radio station west of the Gavilan Mountains. Priceless.
KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Live from Minneapolis at the National Conference for Media Reform, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm delighted to welcome Keith Ellison.
Hey there, Peter B.
Democratic Congressman from Minneapolis. Great to have you on the program, sir.
Hey, man, I'm ecstatic. Glad to be here.
You gave a keynote this morning. You talked about jumping for joy. Why?
Because it feels like we're at like a great awakening moment, like we're like Jubilee or something. We're at a time when American people have said, you know what? We really are better off together than we are divided and separated. We really do need to invest in our infrastructure. Maybe we shouldn't have a foreign policy where we invade countries for no reason just to try to control the price of their oil. I mean, Americans are coming together around this of very diverse points of view. Peace activists and military families both agree that, you know, we have to do this foreign policy thing differently. People who are of very diverse economic interests are coming along the same lines. And I think we have a tremendous opportunity. Future's not written, Peter, but we have a great opportunity because there's an awareness among Americans that we need a new way forward. And to me, that's an exciting prospect.
Yeah. You were introduced this morning by a video clip that unfortunately may dog you for a long time.
Yeah, it's okay.
It was your Welcome to Congress appearance on the Glenn Beck television show.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just like to take a moment here and apologize on behalf of white guys in the media. His ignorance was just so overwhelming. And let's talk about that for a moment, because there's a lot of ignorance that gets paraded out in our media as fact. And some of it's harmless, but a lot of it isn't. And we've recently seen the expose from the New York Times about the way generals and other high-ranking officers were embedded in the media to deliver Rumsfeld's talking points.
Mm-hmm.
This is not only an egregious ethical violation, it's against the law.
Yep.
And yet, we've seen some noise about hearings and that sort of thing, but we have a fundamental problem that the truth doesn't matter anymore. We're just now getting around to seeing the Senate Intelligence Committee report about the way intelligence was hacked up and hyped up before the war. But there aren't going to be any consequences.
Well,
so how
do we
get back on track where the truth actually matters and ignorance is not permitted to be broadcast without correction?
Peter, I don't believe that this story is written. I think that there are going to be some consequences. Already, Harriet Myers and Josh Bolton have been found in contempt of Congress. There's subpoenas going out to Karl Rove right now. We've had a whole lot of, you know, there are some sectors of our society talking about charging the drafters of the torture memos with war crimes, one of them in Germany. And I think that before this thing is over, you're going to, as bad as they got out there in violation of our rights and of democracy and of decency,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see a reaction that is probably equal to that.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to when the new president takes office.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a time when, you know, we can open up some files mm-hmm. and really start looking at what they've done. I mean, we do know that just Scott McClellan kind of whistle blew on him the other day. He was part of the whole cabal. But, you know, yeah. the fact is that he's telling on him now. This thing is going to be spinning for a little while. And the impulse we have to resist is that, okay, well, the Bush administration is either almost gone or gone. So we'll just move on.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to play the quote-unquote blame game, another embedded little spin moniker there.
Right.
And so it's not done. And I got a feeling between yourself and other committed Democrats, small d,
mm-hmm.
We're not going to let the story die.
Yeah. Keith Ellison with us here, Congressman from Minneapolis on the Peter B. Collins Show. Now, taking Glenn Beck again as an example,
yeah.
I don't believe in censoring him.
Oh, no.
I don't believe that other than public rebuke that we should try to administratively or legally try to limit his ability to reach people.
I'm with
what
you right there.
What we need is more speech.
Yes.
And so I'm a talk radio guy, Congressman. We are outnumbered 9-1 by the right-wingers. I didn't like the old fairness doctrine, but I do believe that the FCC will not be sufficient. I think we need congressional action to force balance onto the airwaves. And I would suggest that we have to do it by reinvigorating the license renewal process and requiring a licensee to prove that they offer diverse viewpoints in order to win renewal of that license. What do you think of that?
I like the idea quite a bit, and I just want to let you know that you know, members of Congress don't know everything. You have some people who know a lot, like Chairman Markey, who mm-hmm. is on the Energy and Commerce in Massachusetts.
Yes.
He's like a genius and knows a lot. But the rest of us, you know, we know the fields that we came to Congress practicing, but we don't know everything. We need people like you to say, hey, man, this is a good idea. You need to take a good look at it.
Mm-hmm.
As you were talking about this this review on relicensing, I was taking notes. And I'll take it back because I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to just tell you that I would be first in line to stop anybody who tried to stop Glenn Beck from being stupid on air.
Mm-hmm.
I want him to be stupid on air. How else will the people know? How else will the people know what an incredibly idiotic gentleman that he is?
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, we have moments of revelation where the these people unmask themselves, and we need them. The antidote to bad speech is not squashing that speech. It's to have good speech.
Mm-hmm.
And people will find the right answer. That's why, you know, countries around the world struggling with their democracy, I mean, I think we ought to encourage them to say, look, you know, let the folks you don't like talk. Because then if you actually have a meritorious argument,
mm-hmm.
the people will figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and I was going to say, you know, a good argument beats a bad argument. But a bad argument beats no argument.
That's right.
And so we've got to continue to let the people's voices be heard. I'm absolutely sure that that's right.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, net neutrality, a very important issue. Do you believe your colleagues get it?
Yes, I actually do. I think that when it comes to net neutrality, that we will be able to make sure that the Internet remains free and open. I don't think we can do it if we remain silent and assume that people are going to do the right thing. I mean, mm-hmm. if there's one thing that I've learned over the last 18 months, It's that, you know, a closed mouth does not get fed. Right. You know, you better say something, or people are gonna roll right over you. But I think that the level of advocacy around keeping the internet free and open is so muscular that no member of Congress would be able to shut her down without incurring a serious price.
On another issue, will the House stay firm and reject the bad legislation of the Senate with telecom immunity for the telecom companies that helped spy on Americans?
I want to say yes because I'm basically an optimist. But that's another thing where I've heard within our own caucus calls of,
Sylvester Reyes is ready to compromise.
You know what I mean? We they're getting weak in the knees. We need your listeners to say, Sylvester, do not compromise. We need to stay strong on this. We need to hear the people's voices be heard. Let me just give you an example, a counterexample. When we were trying to push through comprehensive immigration reform, Lou Dobbs, a well-known hate monger, in my opinion, that's my opinion, got up and said, call your congressman and tell him that you don't want any immigration reform. And let me tell you, the calls flooded into my office. I didn't listen to those folks, but because I believe in immigration reform. But they got out there strong. We got to get out there strong on this issue of telecom immunity. We cannot give those companies that conspired with the Bush administration to spy on us a pass. And here's the thing, Peter, and you know this. Several companies said no.
Quest.
Several companies said we will not aid and abet the violation of the rights of the American people.
Right.
And there is a provision in law which would have given them a safe harbor that the Bush administration did not offer. So the fact is, they have no excuse. They should be sued. They should be hit. They should be subjected to public accountability.
And we need full disclosure as to why the Bush administration made wiretap requests outside the FISA court before 9/11.
And you know what? I believe that we are going to get to the bottom because I think that John Conyers is a committed Democrat, big and small D. And I think that he's not going to quit. We're getting subpoenas out for Rove. We went after Myers and Bolton. I think that we're going to get there, Peter. But I don't think we can do it without the strong agency of people who love this country and love the people of this country and who believe that democracy is worth fighting for.
Congressman Keith Ellison, a final question. We do a segment every week about election integrity.
Okay.
There are massive problems with our election systems.
You bet there
are. And I believe that we know from the movie Recount, but I knew it before that, Al Gore won in Florida and John Kerry won in Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
What are we going to do to fix this? I see a lot of denial among Democrats.
Well, you know, that's a problem. Let me tell you just about a few things that I'm working on, if I may. One is I got a bill for same-day voter registration. We were in federal elections. We got to have this. We've had it in Minnesota since 1994. It works great. We have the highest voter turnout in the country, and we have almost no allegations of shenanigans, right? So that's an important thing to bear in mind. Number two is we need to have the Help America Vote Act provides for provisional ballots. We've got to count them. A third of them are never counted, and I got a bill to count these ballots. And I want to tell you that Zoe Lofgren, Californian, by the way, is committed to this, and I think that Zoe and I and several others are going to fight for this. I also have a bill to legislatively override this case that was just issued by the United States Supreme Court in Indiana, the government issued photo ID requirement, which resulted in a 98-year-old nun being denied the right to vote by another nun who knew her for years and years, but who was an election judge and had the obligation to demand to see government-issued ID. Don't blame the voter judges. They have to ask for the ID.
I also believe we need to scrap the electronic machines.
They are not reliable. But can you imagine Sister Mary Frances saying, "Honey, I'm here to vote," and Sister Mary Margaret saying, "Where's your ID?" "Oh, I don't have one." Yeah. "Well, you can't vote, dear. Sorry." I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absurd, and there's no reason for it.
It's also a smokescreen that the Republicans have used to cover election fraud. They want to blame a couple of voters and say, "Oh, look over here," while they try to steal the whole election.
You know, well, the Supreme Court in the Indiana case admitted that there were no cases of proven fraud. There are legions and legions and tons and boxes and volumes of people who had a legitimate right to vote who were turned away in places like Ohio, places like Florida, but not just those places. us also. We can go anywhere around this country on the Red Lake Indian Reservation.
Congressman Keith Ellison, a real pleasure to meet
you. Peter. Sorry
I'd love to talk with you again.
All right.
I'm getting the hook. It's not your fault.
Okay, sorry, man.
We're live from Minneapolis at the National Conference for Media Reform. I'm Peter B. Collins. There you have it, my conversation with Keith Ellison, the first Muslim American elected to the United States Congress. A hell of a guy. I really enjoyed talking with him. He's very animated, very personable, doesn't come across as a guy who is stuck on his status as a member of Congress. And as you can hear, he's a very progressive man who is, I think, right on most of the issues. So that was a great encounter for me. We are, as you heard, at the National Conference for Media Reform. It's winding down here in day one. Tomorrow kicks off with a breakfast meeting presided over by Bill Moyers of PBS, and of course he was in the Johnson White House as a press secretary way back there. And he, of course, is really an icon for many of us in the media who look for honesty, integrity, and the kind of journalism that we saw before tabloid television took over. So a lot going on here. We're going to take a quick break and then return for a final guest. Harold Feld is going to join us next from the Media Access Project, and we're going to talk about the status of cable television and how we might reform it to make it more responsive to consumers. If you have a question or comment about cable, you can join us. My toll-free number works. It's 888-5-PETER-B. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Checking traffic on KRXA and Slim Pickens on a Friday. Just one stall reported for Soquel City Streets, Cordelia Lane at 41st Avenue. Broken down car, it's partially blocking the roadway. May actually be blocking someone's driveway. Apparently, the owner of the vehicle and the owner of the home having a disagreement. CHP is on the scene trying to sort things out and get that vehicle moved out of the way. Heavy traffic southbound 101 as you're getting out of the South Bay from about Bailey Avenue down to about downtown Morgan Hill. The Fish Hook, of course, some heavy traffic south 17 onto southbound 1 with continuing slow traffic out to 41st Avenue in Capitola. Also heavy traffic reported eastbound 152 as you approach 156 right now. And this is brought to you by Sprint. Communicate in less than a second and get more done with Nextel Direct Connect only on the Now Network. Visit Sprint.com/Nextel for details. If you spot a traffic problem, give us a call 415-901-7990. I'm Nate Nix with traffic on KRXA.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Oh,
home stretch here on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from Minneapolis. And a couple of quick programming notes. Ordinarily, at this time of the week, we talk with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com about election protection and election integrity issues. Because of our live remote from Minneapolis, you won't hear Brad today. But to make up for it, Brad's going to sit in for me next week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. And on Wednesday, I'll be visiting my mom in Cincinnati, Ohio, the Republican machine town where I grew up. And we're going to talk to some progressives who operate behind the red curtain there. And so we will be live from Cincinnati next Wednesday, and then I'll take a few more days off. Brad will be sitting in, and then I'll be back in the saddle as usual on Monday, June 16th. And if you didn't catch all that, just stay tuned. It'll all become apparent to you. Here at the National Conference for Media Reform, Harold Feld joins us next. I almost said Ford. Call me, Harold. He's with the Media Access Project, been there since 1999. And he also has participates in a blog called Tales of the Sausage Factory. And he's got some comments up about this conference in Minneapolis that you can read at wetmachine.com. That's W-E-T, wetmachine.com. Welcome, Harold.
Thank you very much for having me.
One of your posts here is Why Jonathan Adelstein Totally Rocks. The commissioner of the FCC was with us earlier in the program today. I think he's pretty cool. Why do you think he rocks?
Well, that post in particular was about how he came to a conference I was at last week, which was this little conference for community wireless networking. And, you know, when you come to a conference like this, which is, you know, 3,000 people, that's good. But when you take the time out of your busy day as a commissioner to come and talk to about 100 people from around the world who are, you know, bringing wireless to the inner cities of Chicago, bringing wireless to the Appalachia, bringing it to countries like Ghana or near Tibet, and the only reason to come talk to them is because they need to hear from somebody in Washington, D.C., that we know what you're doing, we appreciate what you're doing for people. To me, that totally rocks.
You want to know, at the end of the interview, I had 20 seconds, and I said, so, Commissioner, tell me what you're really passionate about that we haven't talked about yet. That's what he mentioned. He said, we got to make sure we can get the Internet to everybody.
Yep.
So he clearly picked up on that conference, or maybe he was passionate about it before.
I think that was the case, yeah.
Harold, I want to talk to you about cable television. We haven't covered that with other guests so far today. I got in trouble one time because I was emceeing an event that was being broadcast live on a cable channel, and I referred to Viacom, the predator of the moment, and I said, oh, cable television, it's the black snake that crawls in your living room and keeps demanding more money. And now I've got Comcast, and they don't honor their agreements. When you sign up for a bundle, a package, they tell you how much money you're going to save, and then suddenly the bill goes up before that agreement expires. And I'm not alone in that. There is a website at Comcast Sucks that explains some of that. But in the bigger picture, cable is in a real strange zone because it's not directly regulated by the Federal Communications Commission. There's some issues that come up that end up being held to FCC standards because the companies who own many of the cable channels also have broadcast licenses. But we've seen in very sharp relief this year that the political reporting and the debates that have been presented on cable TV played fast and loose with what I consider to be fairness and what also used to be called the equal time rule. And that is that Dennis Kucinich would be up on the stage and only get asked two questions in a 90-minute debate. And the anchors from the networks would be on cable, not on the broadcast licensed stations that the FCC and the Communications Act have jurisdiction over. So that's a long question, but I think you understand what I mean, that the big chain broadcasters have been using their cable channels often for end runs around the regulations.
Well, actually, it's sort of interesting because we do have a lot of these rules applying to cable. Cable actually do use wireless licenses. They use something called CARS licenses. The FCC does regulate them. There are also statutes that regulate cable to some degree. But at the same time, it is kind of difficult because the courts have said that cable operators have greater protections under the First Amendment than broadcasters do because they don't use the spectrum in the same kind of way. They don't get this one big license through which they do the broadcast. They just have these little licenses that are actually for using the wire. So it does create this kind of oddball situation. But really, the reason why cable has gotten away with so much for so long is that most people don't think about it. I mean, in the broadcast world, we used to live in a world where they were regulated very carefully, and we had these equal time rules that were very carefully enforced. And so when that went away, people noticed. But cable has always pretty much been a monopoly on the local level, has always managed to evade regulation. So even though people really, you know, like, oh, I hate my cable company, blah, 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 mm-hmm. but they don't think about, like, yeah, that could be different. You know? And let me tell you something. The stuff that they get away with is far worse than things that we allow on TV. I mean, you've only touched on these debates, but, you know, in cable land, they will take they will refuse to take political ads mm-hmm. for local cable inserts.
Right.
There was they did this in New Hampshire where they refused to take ads in favor of medical marijuana referendum.
Mm-hmm.
They give themselves free ads for their political candidates or their political causes. They refuse to let competitors advertise, and of course
they play the commercials louder than the programs.
Well, that everybody does, but you know they also choose who goes on, who doesn't go on, and if you don't play the game with them and do things the way they like and cover the news the way they want you to cover the news, then off you go. I mean, Phil Donahue can tell you that he feels very strongly that one of the reasons why he got yanked was that the corporate up-and-ups mm-hmm. really didn't want him covering the war in the way he was covering the war.
Harold Feld with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Harold, what would you do if I made you FCC chairman?
Well,
In specific related to cable.
Well, you know, I think that we actually have had, oddly enough, Kevin Martin as FCC chair for his own reasons has pushed a lot of things. I don't want to get into a la carte because a lot of people don't like it, and it's not clear to me whether it would help folks out or not, but there are a lot of things.
Since you raised it, just explain briefly what that means.
A la carte's the idea that people should choose the individual channels, and the cable company should have mm-hmm. to sell you individual channels
right.
rather than the package.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a lot of arguments whether it would save money, whether it wouldn't save mm-hmm. money, whether it would hurt you know, unpopular programming, because a lot of times, you know, you're flipping through something you wouldn't have ordered
right.
if you had to pay $2 for it. But
right.
if you come across it, you're like, hey, that's very interesting. I want to
mm-hmm.
watch that. So,
yeah.
you know, there's all kinds of things going on there. But what we really need to do is, number one, we need to limit the size of the cable companies. Their power, in part, comes from the fact that they can now control so many customers. Comcast and Time Warner, between them, control between 40 and 50% of all cable subscribers in the country.
Yeah.
So they control who goes on cable, who doesn't go on cable. When you look at, like, the top five cable operators, that's about 80% of all cable subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so one is size. The other is cross-ownership like we have in broadcast. You know, we need to, we got Cablevision buying Newsday on Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them, I think, a fair amount of power over what these Long Island politicians are going to think, and that's a trend I think we're going to see more of as mm-hmm. these guys expand their reach.
All right, Harold, well, thank you for joining us. Harold Feld from the Media Access Project. I'm Peter B. Collins. We'll be back at you very soon on most of these same stations.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
We're talking with Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company, which offers more than 60 different wines made with certified organic grapes. Veronique, French wines are intimidating for some American consumers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help break it down for us?
Don't be intimidated. What is there to be intimidated about? There's nothing too exotic about them. You either like them or you don't like them. You know, it's really simple. You either like Van Gogh or you don't. You either like the Beatles or you don't. You know, wines are really a form of a vibration in a bottle, just like poetry, just like music. And you know the style of music that you like. So maybe you're going to love French wines. And then go for it.
Learn more about the Organic Wine Company on the web at ecowine.com. That's ecowine.com. To place an order or ask a question, call 888-ECO-WINE toll-free. That's 1-888-ECO-WINE. Tell them Peter B. sent you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Oil with an explosive $11 leap to $139 a barrel.
The bottom line is it's unprecedented, and the consequences are essentially unknowable.
Bill Cheney, chief economist John Hancock. Energy analyst Stephen Shork.
It's absolutely mob rule. We have to remember that price is a function of the crowd's psychological attitudes towards the market. So right now, this market is in a trend, and these prices now, high prices become the justification for high prices.
Yeah, CBS News business correspondent Anthony Mason is talking about a perfect storm.
Soaring gas prices, falling home prices, and rising unemployment.
What kind of recipe is that?
Overall, that's a recipe for a recession.
But economist Bill Cheney says those tax rebate checks, $150 billion worth, should arrive in our mailboxes just in time.
I think the money that's going to show up in people's pockets will be enough to make up for these headwinds, but it's going to be a close call.
The Dow dropping 394 points today on all this news. Labor Department report says 49,000 jobs lost last month.
The unemployment rate jumping the most in over 22 years was a real shocker for Wall Street. And again, it sparks concerns about consumer spending. If you don't have people working, they're not going to have the money to go out and spend and to fuel the engine of the economy.
CBS's Alexis Christophorus. Reaction at the White House from spokeswoman Dana Perino.
Obviously, we're concerned about anybody who wants to have a job and can't find one. The president wants anyone who wants to find a job in America to be able to find a job in America. And the best way we can do that is to encourage pro-growth economic policies.
At the end of a long, tough campaign, a lot of tough talk. CBS News correspondent Jeff Greenfield.
The normal pattern, there's some hard feelings at this point, but most of the time, most party members come back to the nominee.
Yep. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama holding a clandestine hour-long get-together last night, from which the former rivals emerged smiling. It is a working weekend for those floating high above the planets.
With a main section of Japan's Kibo lab now in place, Discovery Commander Mark Kelly has this prediction.
In my opinion, we're going to make some pretty interesting scientific discoveries.
The combined crews continue to outfit the new lab. Today's main job is now done. The astronauts using the station's robot arm to attach a storage compartment for some of the lab's equipment and supplies. Two spacewalking astronauts are inside today and tomorrow. They're back out one more time Sunday. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
Barry Bonds in court.